you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
The Shasta County Grand Jury is accepting applications. The Grand Jury investigates to help ensure transparency and accountability among local governments, officials, and agencies. The Grand Jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities you could hope for. Applications now being accepted. To apply and get details, go to ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
If you don't ask the tough questions, who will? Apply now.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Redding Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
The flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right. For a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Fed
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
I am American. That's what I am.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds.
Okay.
That's all, folks. Yeah, good morning, Sovereign Minds. We got the mic on, and we're here in the studio, and my name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host. And we'd like to thank everybody out there in the North State who supports us and has been listening. Today is April 3rd, 2 days after April Fool's Day. Soon to be followed by the big April Fool's Day. April 18th this year is when all the taxes are due, as opposed to April 15th, because there's some kind of a weird holiday whack job deal going on in D.C. on Friday the 15th. Anyway, I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark, Linda, and Red.
And Red Smith, who's been on the blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time with a soft guarantee of improbable financial post-employment becoming rapid descent into the unfunded pit of hell. And we have to come up with something new now because now it's the chasm of the unfunded pit of hell seems to have gotten wider since, or at least the advertising of it seems to have found a little bit more information slipping into the mainstream.
Apparently the unfunded pit of hell has a waiting room now. they can't service all the clients at once.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later. It's kind of like, what's coming down the pipe here is it's... it's kind of like the old, you know, memory, you know, RAM. You know, you had, you know, gee, when I, you know, 256K RAM, you know, when we first started out computers. And, you know, that's what's going to happen here. It's like that. You know, now we've got 8, 9, 12 gigs of RAM. Well, back in the day, you'd have, like, all of the digital guys trying to run through a gate, you know, one gate, as opposed to many gates to get the information across. And that's what's going to happen here with all of this stuff, is that if you're not through the gate first, you're going to be stuck in a pileup. You're going to look like that escalator did that they showed on the mainstream, where, you know, the escalator screwed up and it just piled them all up at the bottom. So that's coming.
See, I see it more like you're all going to be piled up at the gate on that escalator with the Hindenburg behind you chasing you.
Maybe. Anyway, we are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. Except this Monday, they will not be there because everybody's kind of taking a little bit of a break and we're switching venues to another location.
No. I believe we're still at the Shasta Bible College after that.
Oh.
On the 11th.
I thought we were making a changeover after the day off.
Oh, it's after May.
Yeah, because we had to switch things around because they're having some kind of Bible conference or something and the other church isn't quite ready. So
I'm always the
last. I believe it's in May. But as far as I know, we will be meeting back at the Bible Shasta Bible College on the 11th, on April 11th.
I'm always the last to know. Here's a quote. Greater than the force of mighty armies is the power of an idea whose time has come. Does anybody know who said that? I see Red shaking.
What? I wasn't. I'm sorry. I was actually in the middle of doing something else.
I'll say it again. Greater than the force of mighty armies is the power of an idea whose time has come.
No, I don't.
No? No guesses? Victor Hugo, just in case anybody wanted to know. There you have it. So, dun, dun, dun. You know, very anticlimactic, I guess.
And yes, we will be at Shasta Bible College through April.
Yes.
There's so much to talk about, but I think what we're going to do is we're going to start out with Greg Hunter. We have his weekly wrap-up of stuff. Very good this week, as usual, but I think that we want to play that because it kind of gives us a bunch of talking points to go off about different you know, topics. He covers pretty much all of the stuff that needs to be talked about other than, you know, what the mainstream will not cover.
Which is anything of value.
Yeah, exactly. Gee, you don't even want to go there because it's just so ridiculously stupid at some point that, you know, it's like I'm going to Netflix. I'm just going to completely turn it off, I think.
Well, it's getting worse. I had some expectation as the truth started to come out and some of the light started to get shined that, you know, the mainstream would start cleaning up their act a little bit. It's getting worse.
You're funny this morning. I'm just saying.
I still expect the best out of people sometimes, and
but those are different kinds of people.
I refuse to unlearn the lesson that people will do the best if given the chance.
Well, you know, let's go to a quick break here, and then we'll come back with Greg Hunter and the weekly wrap up. And let's just go from there.
All right. And you're listening to Sovereign Minds. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567, KCNR 1460.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways. Pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies and leave them with the words of a sad country song. Heroes of
have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of one step and back of themselves and their slow moving dreams.
Talk about putting the extreme in extreme sports. April 15th, 16th, and 17th, the Red Bluff Roundup is on. I mean, when you got a rodeo that's both PRCA and WPRA approved, you award world champion points, and you pay the highest purse, and I guarantee you that brings to Red Bluff the top cowboys in America to ride the rankest stock anywhere. For 95 years, this has been one of the biggest three-day rodeos in the country. Friday night is Tri-Counties Bank and Food Max Family Night. Saturday is sponsored by Wells Fargo Bank and Yeti Coolers. And Sunday, it's St. Elizabeth Hospital and Haleakala Ranch tough enough to wear pink day. Get your tickets now at redbuff.com. And hey, Saturday night after the rodeo, don't miss Eggside. Brought to you by Diamond Dove. Oh yeah, the Red Bluff Roundup is on.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, grocery, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Bob Marley there.
Oh,
that's good stuff.
Good music.
Yeah. All right. Excuse me. Let's go ahead and get Greg Hunter queued up, and let's get him rolling. And The weekly wrap-up was very interesting today, and I like the where he started with Hillary, you know, should be singing Folsom Prison Blues here. So, anyway, go ahead, Bob, and get her started.
Hi, I'm Greg Hunter. This is the weekly news wrap-up, the WNW 233 for Friday, April 1st, 2016. But there's no fooling about this newscast. News broke this week. The FBI is getting ready to interview top Clinton aides. There, it's also reported that Hillary Clinton herself will likely be interviewed. The person taking the point on this investigation is none other than James Comey, the head of the FBI. Now, Comey has taken the point on this investigation, and that should scare the bejesus out of anyone because he was a former top federal prosecutor in his past, in his distant career back in New York City. Now, you know, Time Magazine reports that that Comey and his fellow investigators back in the Whitewater days, this is the first time that he has investigated Clinton. So back in the Whitewater days, Time Magazine reports Comey and his fellow investigators concluded what the Clintons did constituted a highly inappropriate pattern of deliberate misconduct. Now, this is Comey and his Whitewater investigators, a big scandal back in the 90s with the Clintons, back in the 80s, 90s, way back when, that it constituted highly improper pattern of deliberate misconduct, end quote. That's what Time Magazine is reporting. Comey, as I said, is a former top federal prosecutor in the early 2000s in New York City, and I think this case is far from closed. Listen, I have been predicting long before that this email scandal broke that Clinton was not going to be elected. A lot of Democrats are going to vote for Trump, or at least not vote for her. The other thing is I think she's going to be indicted. I mean, listen, folks, let's get real here. And I'm going to say this again. My opinion, Hillary Clinton had a private server because she wanted to do a play-to-pay bribery scheme where she could use a private server to do deals and favors where, you know, somebody makes a giant multi-million-dollar donation to the Clinton Foundation or hires Bill Clinton for some ridiculous speech for 20 minutes for $1 million or $500,000 or whatever. And then magically, after they give money to the Clinton Foundation, Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, makes some exemption or does some favor for them. This is well documented also in the Clinton Cash, this kind of pattern in the Clinton Cash book over and over again. Money donated, money given, favor given. This is Clinton, in my opinion, needed a server so she could conduct business and enrich herself with her job as Secretary of State and national security be damned. This was an unprotected server. The person who set this server up has gotten an immunity deal from the Justice Department. Everybody who touched or came in contact with the server did not have a security clearance, and it was backed up on a cloud across the country. Those people did not have a security clearance. It was a completely, totally unprotected server. So that's what this is about. And I think that the noose is tightening around Mrs. Clinton's neck. And might I add, it is a federal crime to lie to an investigator. It's reported, or the rumor has it, whatever, that James Comey himself will be interviewing Mrs. Clinton. I'm sure he'll have some other aides in there, too. And remember, this isn't just a field agent that worked his way up to the top, which is very noble and fine. He's also a former top federal prosecutor in New York City in the early 2000s. Meanwhile, the mainstream media, most of the mainstream media, not Time Magazine, hats off to Time Magazine. They did a big layout this week on this story. But most of the mainstream media continues to do ridiculously positive stories about Hillary Clinton or cover her altogether. And here, let me show you. Here is her advisor, campaign manager, whatever, her advisor. He is, look at what he, you know, here. Now let me read this. Clinton has unconventional foes. Yeah, as a front runner in the Democratic Party, it's pretty unconventional to have a massive FBI investigation into you. And might I add, listen, folks, think about this. This is a massive FBI investigation. headed by the head of the FBI, former federal prosecutor. It's reported that at least 140, 150 agents are working on this. And this is an investigation that is on the Democratic frontrunner for president. As a reporter, there is no way that this story doesn't deserve ongoing coverage. They're going to have a team of people at every network, every newspaper on this, doing stories every day on this. But instead, they're doing, you know, puffball pieces like this. And let me get in here. Read this here, too. Let me get this focused in. Here's the byline. This is in USA Today, folks. Her strategist says her passion and values, her values, will serve her well against both Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. I kid you not, on the that very same day in USA Today, on the front page, here we think it's important that we do a story about Whoopi's, you know, pot business. Here we have, on the very same day, another negative story about Trump. Trump flips out abortion remark that women face punishment. Chris Matthews, hypothetical question. Does anybody think we're going to do away with Roe v. Wade and abortion anytime soon in this country? Totally hypothetical, bear-trapped, stupid question. Meanwhile, the head of the Democratic frontrunner is under a massive FBI investigation. And yet they continue to how they cover it at USA Today, and they say, "Ooh, check our website." Well, I did. They're not covering it. Here's another story that this is in USA Today. This is your say. This is in the opinion section. When they don't like a story, they cover it by putting it Clinton's email server, a hurdle for some voters. Yeah, so is a massive FBI investigation into a play-to-pay scandal in a private server that jeopardized national security. Yeah, her email server, a hurdle for some voters. Here's another one. Here's another ridiculous, positive Clinton, a future of Supreme Court hangs in the balance. So does Hillary Clinton's career with a massive FBI investigation. Meanwhile, when they cover Trump, it's, GOP silent as he sounds off an abortion. Like, that's a hypothetical, nothing, not going to happen. They're not going to overturn Roe v. Wade anytime in the next, few years. Maybe not the next few decades, maybe never. Here we go. Here's another opinion of Trump. This is on USA Today. Again, in their opinion, U.S. workers are not the trade losers Trump imagines. Now, let me tell you who the losers are. The losers are USA Today that decide to be a political spin organization, and the rest of the mainstream media, the rest of the MSM, decide to back a candidate and back a certain ideology and back and be a spin operation instead of a news operation and being fair and unbiased and objective. And they don't even, USA Today, won't even talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I mean, for goodness sakes, this is Elizabeth Warren voted no, along with Ted Cruz, the arch-conservative and the arch-liberal, both voted thumbs down on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. You should Google Elizabeth Warren's talk on what this means. Part of it is it will impair national sovereignty. It will allow corporations to run roughshod over the whole world and your constitution and your civil rights and your constitutional rights be damned. But yet, here is how they go great pains to make Trump look bad over and over again. Here's a local story, AP. AP has got their sights on sexism, gender gap, could trip up Trump. Yes, and so could an FBI investigation could trip up Hillary Rodham Clinton if she's indicted for all kinds of things. It's absolutely positively unbelievable. I will, just to show you that I am objective and fair, I almost fell over when I saw the headline here on USA Today. Pennsylvania GOP will rebels against Stop Trump campaign. The Stop Trump, the criminal crony class that wants to stay in power and keep sucking the blood out of America. And that's what the mainstream media has devolved into, nothing more than a political spin operation covering what I call the criminal crony class. It's not the establishment. It's the people that want to continue to have a lawless business environment, lawless society where bankers can commit all the crimes they want. Nobody goes to jail. You should go back and listen to the William Black interview where he basically came out, and he's a former regulator during the savings and loan debacle where they did jail 1,000 people. He's a Ph.D. in economics, Ph.D. in white-collar crime, Ph.D. in the law. He's a professor at University of Missouri, Kansas City, and he says, you know, basically what we have is a fraud as a business model, that the banks can't function in the United States or Great Britain unless they're committing massive fraud. They can't profit. It's their number one key source of profit. And this is what I hate about the conservatives. Well, we're conservative, really? So you're just going to pretend that this massive fraud, where the Justice Department will not bring a case to a single top banker, let alone jail anybody in the underlings? As I told you, you had the case that just got settled for $2,000 when a former Fed employee took sensitive interest rate documents and gave it to Goldman Sachs. $2,000 fine instead of jail in felony charges. Unbelievable. And the conservatives, well, they want to sit there and pretend this isn't going on. And the same thing with the progressives, you know, the people fighting for the little, you know, Hillary Clinton, I'll fight for you. You know, they want to pretend that this massive fraud fest that's going on between government and the banks and Wall Street isn't happening, where nobody goes to jail, break all the laws you want, make all the money you can, suck the blood out of America. That's what's going on. In the Middle East, just to show you how crazy things are in the Middle East, more stories have broken this past week about how forces backed by the Pentagon, the Kurds, are fighting against forces backed by our own CIA, ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Now, if you remember, at the end of last year, famed journalist Seymour Hersh, who I believe has impeccable credentials and honesty and integrity, broke a story about how the Pentagon was secretly passing intelligence to the Assad regime to help the Assad regime fight against ISIS and Al-Qaeda. You can't make this up, folks. You know, Scott Uhlinger, who was on here talking about the big division in America, you know, there's a big division, you know, that the CIA is a former CIA agent, and he says, you know, we just told what we're told to do. The policy is made in Washington, and then you talk about the big split. Well, he'll be on again in the next few weeks, Scott Uhlinger, the former CIA agent. But it's unbelievable what is happening, and I wonder if that civil war, that little proxy fight over in the Middle East, will end up, you know, over here somewhere. The other thing going on over there is this is a big deal, and that is the Pentagon is pulling families out of Turkey. Now, some say it's because there could be major hostilities with ISIS and more bombings and things like that. The Israelis are telling their people to get out of Turkey immediately. So things are not cooling off in the Middle East. If you look in Iraq, here's a big headline. This is in USA Today. Iraqi Army Mosul offensive stalls in the face of fierce fighting and desertions. It's fierce fighting and desertion. It's stalling. Now, so much for ISIS being on the run or being junior varsity or whatever. Finally, though, the Kerry State Department, the Obama administration, has finally categorized what ISIS was doing, you know, killing Christians and chopping off people's heads and murdering people. They said it was genocide. But they are not in any way, shape, or form knocked out of the park and not going to stop and not stopping. As a matter of fact, it's spreading. It's getting worse. And then you have reports that I read this week of Russian tactical nuclear missiles, you know, 400-mile range type missiles being spotted in their Air Force base in Syria. These are intercontinental ballistic missiles, as I said, 400-mile range, but these are missiles supposedly, reportedly spotted at their base in Syria. And then you take a look at this, you know, Obama administration with the dangers of nuclear talks, that they overlooked the dangers. And you have Obama, you know, sitting, this is a USA Today story where he's, you know, pondering the nuclear question. And you know what the big thing not even hardly reported in the mainstream media is that Russia's not there. Do you know the two countries with the most nuclear weapons? Russia has more than 7,000. The USA Today has about 7,000. Russia's not going to be there. Forget it. Obama has this big nuclear talk, and basically Russia says, we're not going. We're not coming. That should scare the daylights
out of anybody.
that the Russians certainly do not respect Obama at all whatsoever. Moving on to the economy, I just had to bring this up this week. You know, Janet Yellen talked, and for the longest time, every time somebody at the Fed, including Janet Yellen, talked, gold would go down. Well, now the opposite is happening. The last two times Janet Yellen talked, gold went up in price, spiked, okay? And so here's the headline on, you know, Yellen rides to the rescue of the markets. She's not supposed to ride to the rescue of anybody. She's supposed to have sound monetary policy where we don't blow bubbles. And what she's saying to Wall Street is, you know, we've got your back. Now, back in December of last year, you know, Janet Yellen had this big dog and pony show. We're going to raise rates at least four times. The economy can take it. And all of a sudden, we had the worst January in the history of the stock market. Boom, straight down, bad. Now, it's worked its way back up, but nobody believes it. Nobody believes in the rally. This is a Fed-induced rally. Now the Fed, well, raising rates, now that they've cut it down to two times. Let me tell you how many times they're going to raise rates. None. Unless they want to crash the economy. And what did Yellen, here's another AP story. Yellen stresses that Fed foresees gradual hikes. Yeah, how about no hikes? Because if they raise rates, they will crash the economy. And here's, I only got one headline this week, and it's simply this one, just to show you how good the economy is not. And it's this right here. Walmart's first ever revenue drop, end of an era. This is since they went public. This is the first time year over year their revenue dropped, and this is not a U.S. thing. They have 11,500 stores in 28 countries, and their revenue is less this year than last year. Doesn't mean they're going to go away or they're go out of business. But I'm telling you, if you want to use Walmart as a metric for how well the economy is doing, it's not going very well. And I know everybody is celebrating the whoo-hoo, whoa, the Fed's not going to raise rates, more easy money, whatever. Well, listen, John Houseman, PhD, market expert, also of the Houseman Funds, here is his headline. And he says, hey, worst case scenario, 73% down from here. That this is the third and biggest bubble in recent history, and the biggest bubble, the biggest huge bubble in history, and huge bubbles mean huge crashes. I have Bo Polney back on as the early Sunday release. He talks about, you know, how long from top to bottom in 2001 and top to bottom in you know, the housing crisis, you know, the dot-com, you know, top to bottom of the market, the top and to the bottom, how far long and how long and the top to bottom is going to be this time, and it's getting shorter every time, the length from top to the bottom of the market. He'll be talking about the stuff he got right. He'll be talking about answering some tough questions about the stuff he got wrong. Bo Polney of gold2020forecast.com will be the guest on the early Sunday release. But look, John Houseman and Bo Polney and my friend Greg Mannarino are all saying the same thing. Listen, higher highs, lower lows. This is going to be a lower low than it was in 2007 and 8, and a lower low in 2009, and a lower low after the dot-com bust. It's going to be devastating. You won't want to miss the Bo Polney interview. Finally, I just want to talk about the encryption case for the phones. The FBI gave up. They don't need. They supposedly got it unlocked. They supposedly had an Israeli company break the code. And I wonder if they didn't, just as I said, call up San Bernardino County and say, hey, you need to unlock this phone. You locked 2 hours into a mass murder, you know, a radical Islamic terror investigation. I mean, this is a couple hours into this investigation. Somebody at San Bernardino County locks the phone. Why they don't have obstruction of justice charges and tampering in a federal, you know, murder case charges, I'll never know. And I wonder if they didn't just go to San Bernardino County on the sly and say, hey, you guys locked this. Could you please just unlock it? We'll say we got, you know, some country company over abroad. But here's the headline, and this is a good headline. This is an AP headline. FBI Apple case prolongs larger legal battle. And that's, how much encryption can we have? How good can the encryption be? And that's the biggest question. I think the FBI got spooked. I think all the polls were way against the FBI and making the Apple create a back door and break into their own product. I think that was going to be a loser for them, and I think they're going to lose that case. That's why they backed down. And what happened to the NSA and all this bulk data collection? Don't they have all that information anyway? Don't they have, and if so, I mean, that's what it's for, terrorism, right? And all of a sudden, well, we don't have any of this information. The FBI admits they've been in deep partnership and contact with the NSA. I find it hard to believe with the billions and billions of dollars spent on spying on Americans to stop terrorism that they didn't already have the information. It's just a trial balloon to see if they could, you know, slow down the encryption or stop the encryption or create more back doors. And incidentally, the Pentagon was, we don't want, no. We'll hold on, slow down on this encryption, destroying encryption. The Pentagon needs encryption once encryption, but the case with Apple and the encryption, how much encryption can Americans have, is far from settled. I'm Greg Hunter. Thank you for supporting USA Watchdog with your comments. Some of the smartest people ever. I mean, I got people quoting the commenters on the site and sending them virally around to people. Thank you for your donations. That helps us out. And my favorite part, folks, listen, that's the way I see it. And my favorite part, this is my favorite part. Fear not. Prepare yourself physically, mentally, and above all, spiritually. Fear not. God the Father is in charge.
Okay. Hey, Greg Hunter, a lot of talking points there. I want to read this from Lincoln's January 27th, 1838 address. At what point shall we expect the approach of danger? By what means shall we fortify against it? Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow? Never. All the armies in Europe, Asia, and Africa combined with all the treasure of the earth in their military chest with a Bonaparte for a commander could not, by force, take a drink from the Ohio or make a track on the Blue Ridge. In a trial of 1,000 years, at what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring among us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction is to be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide. And with that, I think we should probably go to the break if you're ready, Bob. This is for you, our Commander-in-Chief.
I'm the king of the rumba beat. When I play the maracas, I go chick, chicky, boom, chick, chicky, boom. Yes, sir, I'm Cuban Pete. I'm the craze of my naked street. When I start to dance, everything goes chick, chicky, boom, chick, chicky, boom. The senoritas, they sing and they swing with their ombrero. It's very nice. So full of fight. And when they're dancing, they bring a happy ring to that occasion. And I teach you to chick, chicky, boom, chick, chicky, boom, chick, chicky, boom.
He's a really modest guy, although he's the hottest guy in Havana, in Havana.
Chick, senorita, I know, but you would like a chicky, boom, chick. It's very nice, so full of spice.
Oh, I place my hand on your hip, and if you will just give me your hand,
then we shall try, just you and I. And I teach you to chick, chicky, boom, chick, chicky, boom, chick, chicky, boom.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank. Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Somebody's knocking, should I let him in? Lord, it's the devil, would you look at him? I've heard about him, but I never dreamed he'd have blue eyes and blue jeans. Well, somebody's talking, he's whispering to me, your place, my place, well, which will it be? I'm getting weaker and he's coming on strong, but I
Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. You're listening to KCNR 1460. And if you'd like to call in, 530-605-4567. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com and get involved in the conversation. Interesting stuff. Where should we begin? Wow.
Just take your pen and stab one of the
Hillary's points. Values.
Yeah, that one really got me. Those two don't go together in a sentence, you know?
Yeah, it's like jumbo shrimp or military intelligence, I mean.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, man.
And what's scary is there is people out there that think that she does have values.
Muppets.
That's being nice.
Meat puppets, sock heads, sock puppets.
They're just Muppets.
Yeah, I mean, is anybody getting that the mainstream media is trying to control the narrative to get rid of Trump?
No,
I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, and when does a FBI that has 150 agents all over the presidential contender not news?
When you're Hillary.
Yeah, when you're Hillary.
Boy, she's got some deep pocket connections.
When have the Clintons not had the FBI on them? I mean, from back when they were running coke in Mena, Arkansas, to back when she killed Vince Foster, to Whitewater, to, you know, billing his cigars and everything else. When have they not had some
kind? Yeah,
they've
buried a lot of bodies.
I never had sex with that woman.
You know, instead of a Clinton library, there ought to be a Clinton graveyard.
Well, they could be like the Teflon Don. They're Teflon till they're not, and then they're gone.
Yeah, just like that. Poof.
I sure hope so, because I'll tell you what, this is like Caesar crossing the Rubicon into Rome here, guys. This is a watershed moment. If Hillary, with the blatant criminality that has been exposed, that's undeniable. It's not like, oh, gee, this is a mistake, or she didn't do it, or you know, something's wrong here, and you know, the media's not reporting. No, no, this is blatant criminality. If she does not get indicted by the FBI or the criminal justice system, we have no rule of law anymore. We don't have Rome the Republic. We have an empire run by an oligarchy, or maybe a few bankers putting together schemes out there on Jekyll Island. So it's very important that, you know, justice occur here, because if it doesn't, then we got a lot bigger problems, and they got some more splaining to do.
Yeah. Okay? I think they got some splaining to do anyhow.
Yeah.
Lots of it.
Lots and lots.
Do we have a caller?
Yes, Mort has an answer to your question about Hillary.
Mort. How's it going, Mort? Good morning. Well,
greetings, fellows. It's always nice to be around quality people. But so maybe I can learn something. I have an answer for the value that Hillary's values is nothing more than the 22 tons of gold she took from Gaddafi.
Well, there is that.
Let's face it, she set it all up. This is behind the Benghazi garbage. How about all that gun running? She wants to share that wealth with us, doesn't she?
Sharing
it with everybody else that wants their hand out. I think she even bought off NATO with all that gold. And, of course, the Federal Reserve doesn't want competition from Gaddafi or Lebanon or anything. So there's her value. She's got lots of gold, and she's willing to share it with everybody who's got their hands out. But I have a small question. How could our founding fathers have convinced King George III that he was on the wrong track and we should not have war but have negotiations? In other words, we are living in a more modern time with our radios and our computers, etc. How can we get across to King George III to back down and say, let's not have a war? So I'll let you fellas handle that, please.
I don't think
you could. In other words, how do we get out of this mess without having another King George, an idiot King George, decide that he wants to destroy the colonies?
Well,
thank you for your time. I've got to listen to the radio instead of the phone.
All right.
Thanks, Mark, for calling in.
First of all, we don't have a king. We have a constitutional republic still, and a document that was set up to prevent this exact thing, and checks and balances that have to be instituted by the a informed, educated public that forces our politicians at the local, state, and federal level, starting at the local level, forcing their feet to the fire. Otherwise, there will be an ugly revolution down the road, simply because if we don't stop them with the tools that we have, then we don't deserve any freedom. You know, the people that are out there that are just too busy, you know, in their day-to-day lives, playing football or having fun with the kids, hey, that's all great. I love family stuff. But if you don't understand what's going on here and you don't start getting involved to turn the tide, and I believe we are turning the tide, we will end up in some kind of a real problem, because servitude, you know, the reason that people died to stay out of slavery is because slavery really sucks.
Yeah.
And we need to understand that, and we have the tools still to stop this.
And we are nowhere near the point that our founding fathers were.
No.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, the next person that comes to me then says that we need to break out the guns and start a revolution, I'm going to slap you in your teeth, because we have tools to turn this around. We have the ability to turn this around, and it's the lazy man's way out to say, let's just start a revolution.
Right, exactly.
You're not willing to get off of the couch and do the hard work of running for office or getting the right people in office or standing up and protesting and changing your government.
You're not going to be much good you're going to be out there in the middle of the revolution, right?
Yeah, I'm going to trust you to stand next to me with a gun when you won't even get your butt off the couch to go get a good person into office so we can start turning this around. Shut up.
Yeah, we have a lot more tools than our founding fathers had.
Now, that's not
and a lot of tools to our access that we can put in place more so to have a lot more power and say-so
but
in what goes on.
It takes a rising tide in the public and the people to get up off their couch. Now, this isn't directed at Mort because Mort is up off the couch.
Absolutely.
Mort is out there
doing
stuff.
Yes, he is.
Mort has been stellar. He shows up to everything. So that's what it's going to take in numbers more and more. And like Fred says, to get elected, to get people in these positions of policy making instead of these crony capitalist, you know, criminals that we've got, you know, local, state, and federal.
It, well, it does. You know, we're not even empowered to the point where people will stand up and simply say no and not comply. But you want to talk about starting a war, watching your children and your neighbors and your grandchildren and your grandparents hauled off to camps and murdered in the street. You want to talk about that, but you won't, you know, you...
You won't get engaged and get off the couch or anything.
Yeah, I don't even want to hear it anymore.
Yeah, and with that, we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, Rob from Reading. How are you?
Hey, I just wanted to talk on the Hillary thing, but on that last comment, I'm kind of a little bit in disagreement. And the reason is because I have been involved in things. I am a veteran, and I've seen what happens specifically to veterans being put into jail for making statements on social media that are perfectly well within their First Amendment rights to make, and yet the guy is put into a psychiatric facility with no due process. So you could say all this stuff about, oh, well, you should get off your couch, you shouldn't complain. But the fact of the matter is that many people have complained, and many people actually have been put in jail for the simple fact that they decided to complain about what this government is doing. So it's kind of like, I'm not advocating for, hey, let's go round up all the guns and go march on Washington right now. The problem is that the whole population in the United States is still apathetic to what's going on, that nobody raised a stink over this veteran being thrown into this psychiatric facility without any due process. And I mean, I go to my own church, and people are apathetic about what our government does and how involved they are in everything in the Middle East. And, you know, it's just, you know, at a certain point, it's like, you know what? The government isn't going to throw anybody into camps right now because everybody's so apathetic. The process will take place. This country will die a slow death. People will be talking on the radio about, oh, how we need to stop it. But at the end of the day, you still have all these illegal aliens coming into our country. You have nobody doing anything about voter reform. And a lot of the reason is because of the fact that, you know what, they've intimidated guys like me and veterans. That, you know, they put us on watch lists. So, and they've shown us. You only have to show us one example of throwing one of our guys in the jail without due process for us to get the writing on the wall. I mean, we've been punished within our own military ranks before. So we know that the federal government's capabilities to rain down punishment on somebody who's a ne'er-do-well or somebody who speaks out against the system. And so it's like, you know what, at some point, that day will come. 15 years ago or 13 years ago when I was in Iraq the first time, we had that discussion. Because we saw the writing on the wall. We said, you know what, at some point, this country is not going to be the United States of America as we knew it growing up. And there will be some bad things that will happen at some point, God knows when. But unfortunately, it's not going to end up getting better through people voting at the ballot box.
Well,
because our elections are rigged.
Well, that's not what I'm saying, Ron. I'm not saying that it's going to get better at the ballot box. As much as I'm saying is that people have to get involved in the process, period. And it's going to take the kind of things that you're talking about to happen, and it has to become personal enough to enough people out there to where they do. And it doesn't take the whole population. I mean, the colonists went out with 5% and fought the British. The tide is turning. When you see something that happened like Lavoie-Finicum up there in Burns, and, you know, the instance that you're talking about, the more that happens, the more it starts to incite people to stand up, and it's going to take numbers.
One final thing, I just disagree with that because of everybody's tendency to just forget about what happened 5 minutes later. So we'll there's going to be 50 more Lavoie FinComs come and go. And
see, the point that we're trying to make, Rob, is if we're in a country that can't even remember what happened 5 minutes ago, how can you expect those people to support and sustain a revolution that will come to any sort of successful conclusion?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like at some point it's not like everybody's going to be, hey, you know what, let's just work this process out. There's going to be a small fraction of people. The government's going to exploit them and say, look, at these guys are the radicals. Let's just lay the hammer down upon them, and here's how it is.
I guess
everybody has to comply.
I guess we'll see, Ron, but time will tell. I think we're on the same team, and we might disagree on the outcome, but I don't think we disagree on what needs to happen, and I think that it's going to take some kind of catastrophe in order to really make it go back to the way it was. So thanks for the call.
And I think we need to get more involved, like we're saying.
If you want to stay on and talk about Hillary, that's fine. We're going to a hard break because we don't have a choice, but we'll come back.
And this is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Winter is making an unwelcome comeback in parts of the East and Mid-Atlantic regions today.
A lot of cold air behind it. A lot of windy conditions, too. We've got high wind warnings up in effect for a large part of the Mid-Atlantic region. Not too far to the north, once you get into the Great Lakes and over into the Northeast, particularly western New York, over in areas of Michigan, we're looking at some lake-enhanced snowfall.
Brian Hurley of the National Weather Service. Cool temperatures may persist into the first part of the work week in many places, even as the Major League Baseball season gets underway. Two people are reported dead after an Amtrak train hit a backhoe this morning and derailed just outside Philadelphia. An Amtrak spokesman says a number of people have been injured as well. There were 333 passengers aboard and 7 crewmen on the train heading from New York to Savannah, Georgia. The accident has disrupted rail service between New York and Philadelphia and between Philadelphia and Wilmington, Delaware. The airport in Brussels gradually reopening today after the ISIS bombings nearly 2 weeks ago. Connie Lawn has the story.
Airport officials have taken some cues from the Israelis, who have some of the best security in the world, but they do not appear to follow Israel's example of body searches and racial profiling at this time. In Belgium, luggage will be searched twice, and license plates will be photographed. Passengers will enter further away from the airport. At first, there will be only 3 flights, all within Europe. Connie Lawn reporting from Washington.
Airport officials say they should be doing about 20% of usual business by tomorrow at the Brussels airport, but it won't be up to full strength till sometime in the summer. Ebola may be making a comeback in Liberia. A health official there says a second case of Ebola has been confirmed in the West African country just months after it was declared free of transmissions. More on these stories at townhall.com.
A lot of people have life insurance through work. It's a great short-term benefit, but is it enough? A lot of those policies only cover a year's salary, not enough to pay off mortgages or send kids to college, the things life insurance is meant for. That's where SelectQuote comes in. SelectQuote is your personal life insurance guide. They get multiple quotes to find you the best price from the highly rated companies they represent. John is 36 and in excellent health. He got a $500,000 policy for under $20 a month. Life insurance is about peace of mind, not a false sense of security. Which are you getting? Call SelectQuote now at 1-800-489-8795. That's 1-800-489-8795. Or get started at SelectQuote.com. 1-800-489-8795. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Senator Charles Schumer of New York says the Department of Homeland Security must work faster to begin testing explosive detectors that can sense compounds that have been used in recent extremist attacks. Otto Gregory, a chemical engineer at the University of Rhode Island, developed the electronic trace detection system to sense vapors from explosives, including the bomb-making material TATP, particularly popular with terrorists. The government has funded the project for the last 8 years, and Gregory says Homeland Security plans to field test the system this fall. Schumer says the timetable must be sped up. Australian officials say a piece of debris found on the Indian Ocean island of Mauritius will be examined by investigators to see if it came from missing Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 The discovery comes less than 2 weeks after more pieces were found off the coast of Mozambique. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A coalition of environmentalists and seafood industry professionals is campaigning to make the case that traceability in the industry is about success in the marketplace as much as it is about ethics.
Ocean Conservation Group Oceana has assembled a group of fishermen, processors, and wholesalers to make the case that customers will pay a premium for verifiable seafood. The campaign is taking place as federal authorities consider new rules designed to stop illegal fishing imports, which threaten the domestic seafood industry. Last year, the Presidential Task Force on Combating Illegal, Unreported, and Unregulated Fishing and Seafood Fraud released a plan to improve transparency in the seafood industry.
Jeremy House reporting. Today is Sunday, April 3rd, and it's a birthday for some notable people. Former German Chancellor Helmut Kohl is 86 years old today. Singer Wayne Newton turns 74. Actress Doris Day, 93. Actor David Hyde Pierce, 57. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with the staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Reading's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Mews with Northern Lights Energy. The ethanol-free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Redding, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Left or right,
we are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am
We're back.
American.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State, and a voice in the wilderness. Oh, boy.
Well, we want to thank Rob for calling in on that, and I understand his frustration on that. You know, but that's some ways that's more of a reason for people to start standing up. Unfortunately, there's going to be casualties, and I'm sorry that they pick on the veterans that way. I truly am, but...
Here's the other side of that. I'm going down swinging regardless. I mean, that's the real deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going down swinging regardless. I would rather go down swinging than just roll over and take it. I mean, and if that's what it's going to be about, then I mean, I'd rather die on my feet than on my knees. And so, you know, that's what we're talking about here.
Unfortunately,
you can't shut up about it. You got
to we have to exhaust every option to us first.
I agree.
Correct.
People of morality and good conscience and will and faith, we have to go that route. It's not easy. It's frustrating. You know, I understand very greatly. Watch some of the things that are going on and watching people get gunned down. And I understand in a very Irish and a very passionate way how that ignites the soul and things that you want to go do. I understand that. But as a people of morality and good faith, we have to use the processes and tools that we've been given before we can stand on the high ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the founding fathers didn't go straight to revolt. It took them, you know, what, 20, 30 years before they finally got to the point where they had to do something?
Yeah.
So I don't think we're there yet, but a big economic downturn that's coming is, you know, going to have a huge effect out there. And then the people that are sitting back going, well, I haven't got time, are going to have to take the time because as soon as they can't feed their children, then it's a problem.
It's going to be a matter of survival.
Yeah. So, with that, we have a couple of stories here. Where should we start? Or should we finish up with, you know, I got to slam our guy. You know, I mean, they talked about the TPA, or Greg Hunter talked about the TPA and the TPP and how it's going to get rid of our sovereignty and, you know, put a you know, some FISA court, some, you know, unnamed, invisible court in charge of the world, you know, economic, prosperity through the trade agreement. And how did I guy vote again?
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
It's just because we didn't understand.
We're not smart enough.
No, we
Where's
don't get it.
Where's that Stuart Smalley clip, Bob?
Yeah, we don't. We just don't get it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's...
We're ignorant.
Yeah, you know, but...
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
No.
No. That's really not it.
That's really not it.
Unfortunately, that's... no.
Oh, boy. Well, with that, let's see what else have we got here that, you know, we wanted to talk. Oh, you know, this whole thing with Obama backing ISIS, but he doesn't want to call it ISIS. He wants to call it ISIL. While we're backing the Iraqis who are fighting ISIL or ISIS, it's like, what? It's like, what? What are they talking about? I mean, we're backing both sides of this conflict in the Middle East. Why would we do that again?
Well, I don't know that we're backing both sides. I think both sides are one side.
Yeah.
ISIS is the Syrian Free Army, who we gave weapons and training to, who also happened to be working for Turkey working towards the establishment of the Levant, which we used to call the Ottoman Empire.
The
driving force behind this is the Turks. And they're not good people.
I don't get this whole thing. And then, you know what it reminds me of is that quote from Putin.
This is World War I all over again.
It reminds me of Putin when he says, you know, playing chess with Barack Obama is like playing chess with a pigeon who walks around, knocks over all the pieces, craps on the board, and then, you know, emphatically states he won.
Yeah, that's really an apt comparison. I mean, there are so many dynamics and so many things at play on a global scheme here, and either this guy is a mastermind or
a completely
incompetent buffoon.
Well, I mean, when I see him running around,
I mean, this
in
guy
Cuba with Che Guevara T-shirts on, all the family, and you know that's their outing.
Because communism's a good thing, right?
Baby, please, I am not from Havana.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, his own argument itself is stupid. Communism is a good thing and it'd work if it just had the help of the Western capitalist power.
If it never had anybody in power that was bad.
Yeah, it would work if capitalist nations would just simply float the bill for them.
You know, it's like, you know, with that said, I'm looking at, you know, Need to Know News, G. Edward Griffin, and you know, it goes to this, con artists make the best politicians. And so, you know, the comic shows a guy out in front of the, taking a poll in front of this kind of grumpy looking old grandma, and it says, and of the candidates, whom have you referred to as slimy weasels? Which do you find to be the least offensive?
Exactly. Exactly.
And it goes on to say this week's cartoon put a smile on his face because it was spotlights the popular pastime of voting for the lesser of two evils, and also because it echoes the long-held conviction that big government is a magnet that attracts predators and con artists to seek public office. If politicians were forbidden by the Constitution from doing anything except protecting lives, liberty, and property, there would be little reason for slimy weasels to seek office. Legalized plunder of one class of voters by another would be impossible, and the con artist would have to look elsewhere. See, that's where we've drifted away from the Constitution, and it allows this. That's why we should have never had the Constitution change to give the IRS the power and have the power to have direct tax, and we should have never got the bankers in. You know, that's where we got to start. You get rid of those, all of a sudden, you know, these guys don't have any way to pilfer the populace, and so
yeah, we need to get rid of all of the government agencies, and well, that way we don't have so much problem.
And you know, and then it goes on. Here's some story: 15 photos that prove Obama's war on junk food is a political baloney.
No.
Really?
I mean, we've got these guys eating pizza and hot dogs and French fries. And, you know, every turn he's got some kind of a crappy food, you know, in his hand. And
you mean they lied again?
And you know, it's not so much that, you know, who cares about the junk food? We know it's bad for you. But, you know, these hypocrites, you know, are telling us that, you know, not only is it bad for you, but you know, you shouldn't have it in schools. And, you know, it's the old do as I say, not as I do thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so
I think they call that communism.
Yeah. And then also feathering with that is the U.S. Government, the federal government is preparing to fine schools. Now listen, okay, listen to what I just said, is preparing to fine schools that do not comply with Michelle Obama's school lunch rules. Michelle's lunch program started as a guideline, then it was encouraged, and now it's threatening to withhold federal funding, and now fines will be levied. If you give Johnny a pizza, we're going to charge you.
Yeah, and once again, it goes back to the money and the funding,
yeah,
which they shouldn't be in the school system
they
to start with, in the education system to start with.
You know, money is a drug, and that's why our sheriffs are problematic, you know, the money they're getting, our state. You know, you got to quit taking the money from the central planners who are stealing it from us in the first place, or counterfeiting the and supplementing the rest. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've even got, I mean, I got a story here, you know, like in Europe, this is how bad it is in Europe, where Draghi is getting ready to hand out European Central Bank backed debit cards. So if we can't get the economy to, you know, start rolling really, you know, with like people working and stuff, I got an idea. We'll just give them debit cards.
Free debit cards.
You know, with, 100 euros on it or whatever, and then they can just keep spending, and of course, you know, it's like helicopter money, only it's digital, so that makes it so much better. But there, of course, will be no rise in prices or anything.
So I could buy whatever I want and not have to work for it, but if I don't work for it, I don't produce anything for anybody to buy?
Yeah.
Well, you may not be able to buy anything you wanted.
Be like,
they have control over exactly how much money you have on your credit card.
Like Yakov Smirnoff. What a country! yeah. You know, some problems. So, you know, it just gets to the point where it's like, where does this stuff stop, you know? Well, it's stopping because you're seeing the economy grinding down and they can't stop it from crashing. I mean, that's really where we're headed. Is it the slow grind down into the dirt, or is it going to be a fast grind down at some point? You know, what's what did Hemingway say about filing bankruptcy? First it was slow, and then all of a sudden it was really fast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of all of a sudden?
Yeah.
And boom.
So, you know, I mean, at what point in time do you wake up? At what point in time do you, you know, listen to what Abe Lincoln said about imploding within, from within, with these central planning idiots, you know, that try to run every aspect of your life before you start to wake up and go, wait, wait a minute. You know, I mean, I don't know.
It's time. It's been time.
I don't know. I just, you know, when do people take a look at history and figure out the one system that works economically is free market capitalism?
Yeah.
Well, it's the only thing that produces wealth continually. The entire system is designed to do nothing but produce wealth for everybody.
Yeah, it's evil. Yeah, that's evil.
That's horrid.
I think that we should all just get handed out, you know, debit cards, and then that way we'll all be wealthy. And that's the true sign. That's the way to true wealth, is just to have the government give you money. And then sooner or later, you know, everybody will be rich, right?
No, actually, I don't think that's the way that works either.
Not quite.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure on that one.
Well, money's not wealth.
Well, paper money and digits and little lintries where I type in my computer, and you know, and that's not wealth, really?
No.
Hmm.
No, what it's not. Assets are wealth.
Hmm. Well, what else have we got on the headlines? Let's see. California getting smarter. I read that wrong. I'm sorry. This comes from the California Political Review. And this is from, you know, Stephen Frank. Californians getting smarter. Californians moving to Texas hits highest level in a decade because we have such a thriving economy here, and they're going to raise the minimum wage, and business is booming everywhere.
But it's okay. We're replacing those people with refugees.
Syrian refugees?
Yeah, the guys running around out in the desert shouting Aloha Akbar and shooting at people.
Aloha Akbar.
You know, and shooting at people out in the desert.
Aloha Akbar?
You didn't hear about that out there by Hot Springs? They picked up like 17 Middle Easterners that were shooting at campers and hikers out in the desert.
Oh, yeah, I did
that. I didn't think it was Aloha, though. I thought it was like Aloha.
Yeah, Aloha Snack Bar or something.
Aloha Snack Bar.
Something like that.
No, I mean, yeah, it's like if I don't get my, I can't have a hot, it'd have to be a kosher beef dog, maybe, huh?
I don't know.
I'm not sure what they eat.
Is that good goat country out there?
What the hell they eat? Falafel bread or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, so if I can't have my falafel bread at McDonald's.
Once I found out what they had sex with, I quit losing, you know, I didn't have any interest after that in what they do.
Yeah, I heard one the other day say, hey, he's my dad. No, I'm sorry.
Oops. That's sick and
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, I know. What can I say?
Well, what about that one guy got kicked to death tying the donkey to the front of his Mercedes?
What did he do that for?
let's not go there.
He was tying the donkey spread eagle to the hood of his Mercedes. You can imagine why. And one of the donkey's legs got loose and kicked the guy to death while he was behind the donkey. Who does that?
A jackass.
I just... but I guess that makes me racist because I don't want to integrate with their culture.
Which culture? The barnyard culture or the? I get well. Maybe that's
the Aloha snack bar. We don't know what toilet paper is. Goat humping.
This is an attack on Muslims. I can see that.
I didn't say anything about Muslims. I just said Syrian refugees. Oh. I didn't ask them what religion they were.
Is that a religion, Muslim?
Is it?
I don't know.
I thought Islam was the religion.
I'm not even sure what they are anymore. Islam terrorists, Islamic terrorists, Muslim. What the hell's the difference?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe someone can enlighten.
Are we allowed to say that in America anymore?
I'm not even sure, but I just said it.
Yeah.
You know, I think free speech is still okay.
Is it?
I'm not sure.
find out.
Let's see. California getting smarter. They're moving to Texas in the highest level in nearly a decade. Just Google U-Haul, and you'll find the closest facility to rent a truck to get you out of Dodge. If you want to, if you want to wait till after the November elections, you might have more than $250 billion, not a typo, in new taxes. What? We got $250 more new taxes and bonds on your balance sheet? And we're not
that wouldn't happen in California.
Be afraid. No, that is for all the folks left in Los Angeles. The rest of the state might be lucky with about $200 billion in added debt. That does not include the cost of regulations that will devalue your home and your business. Can you afford not to leave the former Golden State? According to the IRS mitigation data, which uses individual income tax returns to record year-to-year address changes, over 250,000 California residents moved out of the state between 2013 and 2014, the latest period for which the data was available. The tax returns reported that more than $21 billion in adjusted gross income to the IRS. So $21 billion in adjusted gross income just boop.
Mm-hmm. Gone.
Gone. And it's gone.
Mm-hmm. Aloha snack bar.
Oh, jeez.
There it is.
I think we need to go to a break here, just because.
And with that, if you want to call in and get in on the conversation or have something you'd like to talk about, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Me the mouth.
And I'm Red. They call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9
on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, it's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. And we have great community sponsors.
Russell Cleaning Services, both residential and commercial cleaning. Shasta Athletic Club, the place for fitness in Reading. Revolve Solar, save on those energy bills. And Authority Property Management, the pros in property management.
Each week we cover many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform you of what's happening. So tune in each Saturday at 9 o'clock to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show, it's the happening place.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with the staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Redding's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 768-1205 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
You talk about putting the extreme in extreme sports. 16th and 17th, the Red Bluff Roundup is on. I mean, when you got a rodeo that's both PRCA and WPRA approved, you award world champion points, and you pay the highest purse, and I guarantee you that brings to Red Bluff the top cowboys in America to ride the rankest stock anywhere. For 95 years, this has been one of the biggest three-day rodeos in the country. Friday night is Tri-Counties Bank and Food Max Family Night. Saturday is sponsored by Wells Fargo Bank and Yeti Coolers. And Sunday, it's St. Elizabeth Hospital and Haleakala Ranch, tough enough to wear pink day. Get your tickets now at redbluff.com. And hey, Saturday night after the rodeo, don't miss Eggside. I wanna kiss you all. Brought to you by Diamond Dust. Oh yeah, the Red Bluff Roundup is on.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
We would like to apologize for the way in which politicians are represented in this program. It was never our intention to imply that politicians are weak-kneed political time servers who are concerned more with their personal vendettas and private power struggles than the problems of government. Nor to suggest at any point that they sacrifice their credibility by denying free debate on vital matters in the mistaken impression that party unity comes before the well-being of the people they supposedly represent. Nor to imply at any stage that they are squabbling little toadies without an ounce of concern for the vital social problems of today. Nor indeed do we intend that viewers should consider them as crabby, ulcerous little self-seeking vermin with furry legs and an excessive addiction to alcohol and certain explicit sexual practices which some people might find offensive. We are sorry if this impression has come across.
We don't mean that at all.
No, that is a disclaimer that we wanted to make sure we got out there. Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't want to confuse anybody. Wow.
Yeah.
So back to our story. So if we think about these guys moving to Texas, think about it. In just 1 year, 250,000 people left California that were not illegal aliens, were not rich, not the rich or the poor, that is the middle class abandoning this once great state. They are the lucky ones. The rest of us get to pay for this social justice paradise. Isn't that fun? Isn't that nice? Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, the social justice paradise.
Great.
Yeah.
On another note, Vermont.
Like, where does it stop?
Well, it stops in Vermont because they're now Vermont. Just saying. Major food companies, including ConAgra, General Mills, Mars, and Kellogg, will now label their GMO products in Vermont. And Vermont's a pretty liberal state, isn't it?
It's the land of Bernie.
Bernie, yeah, they feel the burn there.
Yeah.
How come our guy voted? How come our guy voted to not label our food? Oh, what are the liberals smarter than our guy?
Money.
Or no, the liberals are dumber. Is it dumber or smarter? Is it power and money or money and power? I can never remember which.
Both.
All depends.
Do you get the power first and then the money, or do you get the money and then the power first?
It depends on how you get your money.
If
you don't touch the check and you only take it in increments, then it's...
Somebody else's money buys you the power, but then you have to pay back the money with your power.
So is it the... it's like a chicken or the egg thing, isn't it?
It is, kind of.
Yeah. Do I have the money first or the power of the money first? I'm not sure. Yeah. So anyway, that's what they're doing in Vermont. Just saying, is they're labeling their food, I guess, because like GMO products are a problem for some people, you know, and, well...
Yeah, some people just want to know what they're putting in their body. You know, how dare they?
I know, you bastards.
Yeah. Bad, bad people.
Yeah.
But we'll fine you if you don't follow along at the school lunch program with Michelle.
Yeah, meanwhile, in California.
What can you not get fined for? I mean, the only thing that you can't get fined for is something you already pay a tax on.
Well, you probably still can get
probably
fined.
Probably get fined for that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you know. You didn't pay enough.
You don't get fined if you're a banker and you, you know, run the economy in the toilet and have to get bailed out. They actually pay you to do that.
What is something that you don't pay a tax on or can be fined if you don't buy a license to do? I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Hmm.
I mean, I can't even buy gas without paying tax on the gas.
Lots of
and
taxes.
Having to have a license to buy the gas because I have to have a license for the vehicle to put the gas into.
I had gas last night, but I'm not sure I paid a tax on it. I probably did.
You probably paid,
I'm sure somebody
you probably
did.
Probably paid tax on whatever created the gas. The electricity to warm up whatever created the gas.
Oh, boy. Where are we going with this? I'm not sure, but let's talk about something else. How about the corporate debt that is skyrocketing. And let me see. I got my computer here. Oh, there we go. Okay, corporate debt defaults explode to catastrophic levels not seen since the last financial crisis. This comes from the Washington's blog posted on March 31st. Michael Snyder. If a new financial crisis has already begun, we would expect to see corporate debt defaults skyrocket. And that is precisely what is happening. As you can see from, and if you go look this up, you can go to the WashingtonBlog.com. You can see that corporate debt is now exploding, just like in the last, but hey, we need to play Leslie Gore, Sunshine and Lollipops again, because that's what's happening, is that it's all about sunshine and lollipops in Washington, D.C., and the sunshine and lollipops are going to turn to a bad day if, like, one of the Republicans get elected.
Well, here's a good one, that you know that California just passed the $15 an hour minimum wage.
Right.
Well, now there's a group of people that are in panic saying that because of the $15 an hour minimum wage, we now need rent control because they're worried landlords are going to engage in price gouging.
We already have that going on in Reading. Didn't you know that? With the renters? With renting property?
Shasta
County's already got some of that in place, that they have to charge a certain amount and have permits and all this crap for people that have property that they're renting to individuals.
Well, people that got a loan for rehabilitating certain apartment
even
buildings.
They didn't get a loan.
They have to establish a certain level of what they're allowed to charge. How do people not understand that increasing the minimum wage does nothing but drive inflation?
Yeah.
And
they're going to be out of a job anyway, because look what happened in other areas, and they just put kiosks in and get rid of the individual anyway, so they don't have to pay you $15. So you're out of a job.
Yeah, just so everybody was wondering, that's my phone. It went off, and I got somebody on the line here, but we're on the air at KCNR 1460. So I just wanted to let him know I'll call him back.
Oh. I bet he really appreciated that.
Yeah. Well, but it's, you know, for an example, one of my first above the table jobs that I ever had. I was like 14 years old, and I went and I got my worker's permit and I did my thing, and I got like $250 an hour. It's like $250, $275 an hour.
Boy, you were highly paid.
I was highly skilled.
Yeah.
Do you know how much I made at my first job? The Happy Camp California CETA program, $1.35 an hour.
I think mine was $1.50 for the Forest Service on Happy Camp.
The thing is for that $250 an hour, I was able to work that summer, and at the end of the summer, buy myself a dirt bike. Okay,
money was worth a little more back then.
Well, that's the entire point. Has there been dramatic leaps in the manufacturing methods of making dirt bikes? Are we using all of these radically new, expensive materials, or is a dirt bike still pretty much a dirt bike? The difference is there's no way I could buy a dirt bike at $2.50, but that's not because I wasn't making enough money. It's because the value of my money has been destroyed.
Yes, and also all the taxes you have to pay in between there now.
Let's just keep the printing out the digits. Just keep the helicopter money coming, because guess what? You know, pretty soon it's going to be $50 for a loaf of bread out there, guys. And, hey, that's progress, right?
It is.
Yeah. Do you know what I did? I worked for the Forest Service. I started that job when I was 13 or 14. 14, I think. And we split rails. That's what I did. I split rails for fences. Yeah, for $1.35 an hour.
I painted tables out in the Forest Service and cleaned trails and stuff for $1.50 an hour then, you know?
You're getting ripped off on those fence posts. Last fence post job I did, we were splitting cedar posts for $15 a piece.
Well, we did get to sharpen tools as well. So
we got around a lot. Had a lot of fun there.
There's a lot of tools around here that need to be sharpened.
Yeah. Or taken away from some people.
Boy. Have we got a caller, Bob?
We have Gary Hollihan who wants to chime in.
All right.
Good morning,
everybody.
Morning.
Talking about starting wages when I was 14, I think in 1955, I worked in a grocery store bagging, and I think it was under $1 an hour. And then I went to retail shoe selling, Carl's, which was the base, and I moved into wealth at $1 an hour.
Yeah, how much was gas back then, Gary?
Oh, gasoline was about 35, 39 cents a gallon.
They had gas in the 50s?
And you went to the movies for, I think 50 cents was probably max.
I don't think did they need gas for cars back then? Or was it like the Flintstone things?
No, it was past the Flintstone. No, we had gas. We had the 55 Chevy and all those good things, which we'll be seeing more of, I hear, in a couple of weeks. One other thing, Rob, some people probably missed your first hour, and would you go into PERS again? I thought it was very well done and easy to understand.
Well, Gary Catt will be here at 11, and we'll be diving into CalPERS for the whole hour.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. Well,
great show as usual, everybody, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks at the Reading Patriots. We're no longer the Tea Party. We're Reading Patriots, aren't we?
Yeah, the Tea got through in the harbor. Now we're Patriots.
Yeah. Yes. Right. All right. Take
care. All right.
Care.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, so with that said, here's a headline. Global shipping industry takes a hit from China's slowdown. A perfect storm is brewing for the shipping industry. The bellwether sector is in crisis mode as it navigates oil price volatility, a drop in global demand, and a glut of supply and ship capacity. About 90% of the world's goods, now again, that's 90% of the world's goods are transported by sea, so when demand drops, shipping companies are among the first to notice. Global growth is waning while the concerns swirl around China's economic slowdown. China is the world's second largest economy and biggest exporter.
Well, see, even that's deceptive. China's slowdown, that's not a slowdown. That's a sudden stop with a hard jerk at the end of the rope. I mean, that's bad over there.
Well, but what you have to understand is that, and you think about it for a second, if 90% of the world's goods are shipped through these lanes, and we've had that much of a slowdown, is the recovery still? Are we in recovery still? Or recovery?
No, we've never been in recovery.
Does it come recovery first before the crisis, or does it go crisis recovery and then crisis and recovery, or does it just go crisis to crisis and there's no recovery?
I was gonna say, we're just in crisis.
No, what they've done is they've taken crisis that we've been in for the last 8 years and just called it recovery for 8 years, so we begin to accept the crisis as normal.
Can't waste a good crisis, can we? Yeah. No, hey, why? We'll just call it recovery. What the hell? You know, I mean,
people never know the difference.
No, we'll just tell them whatever they want to hear because, you know, it'd be just like Germany back in the day. You know, you just tell everybody we're winning the war. Is that before or after they bombed Berlin? I think that was before they bombed Berlin, but then afterwards it was harder to cover up.
Yeah, I think the German people caught on right about the time they firebombed Dresden into the ground.
Yeah, or was it? Well, according to Kitty Weatherman, it was right after they took all their weapons.
Yeah, that was a hint.
Yeah, imagine that.
That was kind of the watershed moment. Anyway, yeah. We have a caller.
We do. Good morning, Billy Bob. You got a question or comment?
Yes, I do. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, you Patriots, I'm glad to see you're up and running today. Great show, as usual. And I just wanted to comment again on my non-compliance pledge that I'm taking and my Donald Trump support ticket that I think we should, and all of us that have at least a chance of surviving this onslaught of absolute communist crap with this president we have, we got to do something, and you guys express it best. But I don't know. And then I was thinking I wanted to roll it by you, being a tax consultant, Mark. What if we just filed a lawsuit, a class action suit against the United States government, and we just all file a lawsuit and just sue them? That's the only way we can do it. I'll let you guys go. Bye.
Well, all right. Thanks for calling in.
Actually, there is a class action lawsuit right now happening. I have article here. Court takes the IRS to woodshed, orders them to basically reveal the secret information that they've been hiding from the public. And so that maybe we need to file another class action lawsuit against these guys. But evidently, a judge has ordered the IRS to quickly turn over the list of groups that were targeted. Oh, wait a minute. There was group
there
targeted?
There was none.
There was no
there
group.
There was none.
Yeah. So evidently, the judge from the Justice Department, or the judge, well, it might as well be from the Justice Department in most cases, the lawyers in the Department of Justice have a long and storied tradition of defending the nation's interest in enforcing its laws, all of them, not just the selective ones, in a manner worthy of the department's name. The conduct of the IRS attorneys in the district court falls outside that tradition. Judge Raymond Keithledge wrote in a unanimous opinion from a three-judge panel in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, "We expect the IRS will be doing better going forward."
Better than what?
Exactly. Better than what they've been doing, which is basically hiding information, attacking their political opponents, making sure that they don't have the money to operate, marginalizing what they say, thinking they're above the law, committing treasonous as well as criminal acts that are contrary to the code, to equity, and to the Constitution, and then targeting the using the media as a smear campaign to brand them as racist and people who have no interest in helping the common man or the little people.
Yeah.
It's a concept.
Wow.
They all should be in jail, in my opinion. All IRS agents.
Well, that's ongoing, and the battle continues. So there's some good stuff coming out of Judicial Watch, too. I mean, you know, the...
I think the IRS is kind of reading the tea leaves, and they had an expectation of being able to drag this case out and drag this case out through Obama, and then we'll get Hillary in there, and, you know, we'll finally drag it out until it disappears. And now they're kind of reading the writing on the wall and seeing who's going to be in office and going, oh, maybe we better get this thing settled before the next president.
And why does Trump scare the bejeebus out of them? Why does Trump scare the bejeebus out of the establishment Republicans, the establishment Democrats, the establishment period? Ask yourself that question. Are you smart enough to think of a reason why Trump would be scaring the crap out of them?
I can think of several. Yeah. It's some of the same reasons he scares the crap out of me in a way. he is going to change everything. It's and that could be for the better or for the worse.
I think it has to be somebody who's bombastic to do this. I really do.
Well, are we looking at a Justinian or are we looking at a Caesar?
Well, that's a good question. We've already got Caesar. Are we going to just trade him for a better Caesar? Or
I think we've got Caligula, and you know because Caesar, you know even though he,
you know, you know what Caligula's nickname was, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Little Boots. Yeah, because he was the son of a famous general in Rome, right?
I knew that.
Yeah, so yeah. His nickname was Little Boots. That's what they call him. So maybe we should start calling
Little Boots
Obama Little Boots.
Little Boots. You know, and I will say one thing for Caesar, that even though he attempted to seize power and become emperor, he did make Rome great again. He absolutely did accomplish that.
Well, I believe that Trump wants to go back to the Constitution. I believe that that's his underlying thing. And I think he's going to go in there and go, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. And that's what needs to happen. We need to just start going through and firing every one of these, all of these guys.
You're fired, you're fired, you're fired. Yeah. You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
I just want to find some kind of assurance that he's not going to override and destroy the Constitution to do what he thinks needs to be done.
Well, I don't think he'll be everybody's puppet. They can't buy him and make him pull his strings like they do with everybody else and hold stuff over his head and pressure him. I don't think it's going to make a difference if they try that with him.
And again, it depends on what his motives are. Because I'll tell you what, if you look at Abraham Lincoln as a model, he went outside the Constitution to save the Union.
That's what I'm frightened of. That because if you look at the system that Trump has to work with, Trump cannot go in and unilaterally change everything. He's got to work with Congress, which is filled with pinheads and Poindexters. He's got to work with a Supreme Court that is iffy at best. And how long is it going to take for a person with the personality of Donald Trump to go, okay, enough of this, I am going to do it unilaterally? That's what frightens me.
I would rather take the chance on Trump at this point than Hillary or Bernie. And then the other alternative is Ted Cruz, who is very troubling to me. I initially supported him, but I just can't support him with his wife working at Goldman Sachs, coming from J.P. Morgan Chase, and being a CFR member. That's like the kiss of death for me. So that leaves Trump.
In all honesty, I'll probably be one of those people that, quote-unquote, throws my vote away on the Republican or on the Libertarian candidate.
I think that's just not smart myself. I mean, it looks like Rand Paul's coming out in support of Trump. Saw that the other day.
I'm not a big fan of Rand Paul either.
Just saying.
So,
just
but
saying.
Yeah, I find myself in a serious conundrum.
Well, going back to this IRS story, okay. As you recall, the Tea Party groups were targeted when they applied for nonprofit status. The IRS delayed the approval, then asked them inappropriate and illegal questions, tying them up needlessly so they were less effective organizations. No. The IRS has said it was all just a big mistake. Up to this point, we have no idea how many Tea Party groups were targeted. The IRS suddenly was protective about the information, saying that Section 6103 of the tax code prevented them from releasing the information. And this is the point I want to get to here. You know how much the IRS values confidentially and all.
Yeah, sure.
This is what the judge said, and this is why this is important. Section 6103 was enacted to protect the taxpayer from the IRS, not the IRS from the taxpayer, you boneheaded piece of garbage.
Yep.
Bastards.
Yep.
Now, that's exactly what the judge said. That's the judge's words.
And we hear about this on media and stuff?
It's the whole thing. You know, Scalia said it best out of all of it. Is words no longer have meaning. Words no longer mean things.
Depends on what the meaning of the word is.
Yeah.
So, there is a class action lawsuit coming in here because, this isn't the only time that the court has ruled in favor of the Tea Party. The Washington Times reports that in January, U.S. District Court Judge Susan Dyott certified their case as a class action suit, signaling that she agreed with the NorCal Patriots. Where's that? That the IRS did systematically target hundreds of groups for special scrutiny. That certification allows that all targeted groups to join the lawsuit. But the IRS dug in its heels. They wanted to keep the list of the groups they targeted secret to cover up their own hides. Seems like that's not going to happen.
Nope.
When the IRS complied with Judge Kethridge's order, the Tea Party attorneys will be able to, when they do comply, the Tea Party attorneys will be able to proceed. Now that the case has entered the discovery stage, where the Tea Party group's lawyers will ask for all of the agency's documents related to the targeting of the, and will depose IRS employees for their actions. So this is like OJ, you know, the glove doesn't fit, you gotta acquit, as opposed to getting into a civil court of law where you don't get to stand on the fifth. You don't get to not be deposed. You don't get and what happened to OJ? They took everything they own, and that's what should happen to every one of these IRS guys.
Mm-hmm.
Get their pensions, get their paychecks, put them out of business. You know, I don't give a crap who gets the money at this point. Donate it to a good cause. I don't care. But these guys need to lose everything they own, just like OJ did, because they are freaking criminals, and these are the guys that are administrating the law to us right now as we speak.
And it should be more than just straight damages. It should be punitive damages. And it should be punitive damages on a scale to cripple the IRS so that they can never do it again.
Get rid of them.
It's moments like these that make you really appreciate the three divided branches of government. Perhaps what the legislative branch failed to do, the judicial branch might get right
for a
change.
It would be nice.
It would be nice.
It would be really nice. And they need to get it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's see.
Really, at the end of the day, what are we asking for? Live up to the contract that is the Constitution and reestablish the rule of law. Is that really that much to ask?
And have some values. All
we want is everybody playing by the same rule book, and there's certain rules that you can't make, and those are laid down in this contract right here. That's it. It's really that simple.
It is.
I know. But, you know, when you got old blowhole up there, you know, this guy needs to go so bad that, you know, unbelievable. Anyway, what else have we got? We got about five minutes to the top.
I wanted to get in this.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk to people about Armed Force Days that's coming May 21st. We're having a Fallen Rider Memorial Luncheon at the Veterans Memorial Hall. And we're doing this to honor those who answered the call to serve. And it will be happening from 12 to 3 p.m. Again, that's on May 21st. I also want to give a shout-out, so to speak, to my brothers and sisters in Arizona with Missing in America Project. They actually interned 42 veterans that expanded over 134 years' worth of service. And thank you for that. We appreciate it. So.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Did I sound a little angry?
No. I don't think so.
No?
No.
I guess I could have gave it a little more then. Yeah.
Well,
Because there's anger, then there's righteousness.
There's righteousness to it. I mean, it's... You know, and when you start to get into stuff, you revisit the things that, like, Rob called in earlier, that, you know, enough is enough. Let's get up and do what we got to do. And that's where we do understand and appreciate the frustration and the amount of, okay, that's it. We've had enough. But we have to wait for the class action suits to drag themselves out. We have to wait for the process to grind its gears.
It's like 5 years later.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But at the end of the day, us killing each other in the streets, are we going to justify ourselves for killing each other in the streets because we weren't willing to wait for the process to do what it needed to do?
But at the same time, we have time to elect at the local level and start making a difference on that aspect of it our way up, which people don't realize. We've got elections
we really
need to get involved in.
We got to do what the communist guys did. We got to start taking over these seats in the government. That's really the answer.
And protecting our people and our community.
Right. Is it going to be easy? No. Is it a monumental task? Yes. It is a massive task.
It's a lifelong.
Well, you
got to
look at this like the 100-year war in Vietnam. I mean, that's how the Vietnamese looked at the war in Vietnam, yeah. is that they thought it would take 100 years to win. It's not like something that's going to be solved in 5 or 6 years.
No. There's no magic snap your fingers and we're fixed.
Right. With that, nice. I got to get this story in before the top of the hour. The feds have resumed a controversial program that lets cops take stuff and keep it. Remember, the program called civil forfeiture?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Justice Department, and this is our Attorney General, our U.S. Attorney General, Loretta, Lynch, who should be probably lynched. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. And so the Justice Department has resumed a practice where police officers can seize and keep cash and property from the people who are never convicted of a crime. The Justice Department has announced that it is resuming a controversial practice that allows this to happen to funnel a large portion of assets seized from citizens into their own coffers under federal law. No. The equitable sharing program. I like the way they put everything. The equitable sharing program. Sounds so nice. We got to have equity and social justice.
Equitable sharing.
We don't have to charge you. We just take your stuff.
Yeah. What's the big deal? Just take all your property and your money and your assets.
It's equitable.
Yeah.
Oh, and you're sharing.
I'm not even going to say what came to mind.
You're spreading your wealth around to everybody.
You're spreading, you're equitably sharing something.
You're making what I'm thinking worse.
Yeah, you're spreading something.
Yeah.
It gives the option of prosecuting some asset forfeiture cases under federal instead of state law. Gee, where does it say in the Constitution that they're supposed to do that?
Have that power?
Let me check. I didn't see anything about asset forfeiture under the purvey of the federal government.
And how many police agencies are going to allow this to happen?
Any of them that get paid.
Yeah. There's that funding piece again, yeah. I'm telling you.
Perfect music, Frankenstein by Edgar Winner.
And you're listening to KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State. Stay tuned with Gary Gatt.
Who? KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. An Amtrak train struck a piece of construction equipment just south of Philadelphia this morning, causing a derailment, killing 2 people and sending more than 30 others to the hospital. Train 89 was heading from New York to Savannah, Georgia, about 8 a.m. when it hit a backhoe that was on the track in Chester, 15 miles outside of Philadelphia. The impact derailed the lead engine of the train, which was carrying more than 300 passengers and 7 crew members. The first day of spring was 2 weeks ago, but in many places around this country, today, it's going to feel and look like winter.
Over the next 3 days, the heaviest snow will be across those lake effect snow belts of upper Michigan and northern lower Michigan into western New York. That's where we're expecting anywhere from 6 to as much as 12 inches of snow.
Brian Hurley of the National Weather Service. Everybody is wondering what will happen at the Republican convention this summer, especially if none of the presidential candidates win the nomination outright. Republican National Committee Chief Ryan Priebus tells Fox News he does not expect some fourth candidate to be selected in Cleveland.
It's possible that a person can be nominated that's not one of the three, but my position is, and I think it's absolutely correct, our nominee is likely to be one of the three people running.
Next up on the primary trail, Wisconsin on Tuesday, 42 GOP delegates at stake, 96 for the Democrats. Officials say the Brussels airport will not be fully operational again until sometime in the latter part of June or early July. But today, the first of 3 symbolic flights departed, signaling the return of service 12 days after the terrorist attacks. The effort to crush Ebola in West Africa continues to be an elusive goal. A Liberian health official says a second case has been confirmed in that country today. More on these stories, townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent, and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors not available in all states.
California and New York, where almost one in five Americans live, are on their way to raising their minimum wage to $15 an hour, and the activists who spearheaded those efforts are now setting their sights on other similarly liberal, Democratic-led states, including Illinois, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, Oregon, Rhode Island, and Washington. They're amongst the states with active fight for $15 efforts, and even economic experts who oppose the increase see it as gaining momentum. The idea faces headwinds, though, in more conservative and rural states in the South and in the Midwest, but activists believe the movement is picking up steam nonetheless. A strong earthquake has struck this morning off the South Pacific nation of Vanuatu. There are no immediate reports of injuries or damage, however. The U.S. Geological Survey says the magnitude 6.9 quake struck 50 miles north of the port town of Orly. There was no tsunami. News and analysis at townhall.com. For the first time in more than two decades, the rate of newly diagnosed tuberculosis cases is not going down.
In fact, federal health officials say the number of new cases actually rose a bit last year, marking the first increase since 1992. One researcher at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says there's a need for new and expanded efforts to lower TB rates. Tuberculosis is caused by bacteria that usually attacks the lungs. It's spread through the air when an infectious person coughs or sneezes. And if not treated properly, TB can prove fatal.
Correspondent Rich Thomason. Today is Sunday, April 3rd, the 94th day of 2016. There are 272 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1860, the legendary Pony Express began carrying mail between Missouri and California. And on this date in 1948, President Truman signed the Marshall Plan. More on these stories at townhall.com.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California that includes all types of tobacco and accessories and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Left or right,
we are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American.
Welcome back, Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media. You know, we've got our guest in the studio with us, Gary Cadd. But before we get to Gary, I just can't even help myself at this point. You know, we're talking about this civil forfeiture. And, you know, I encourage everybody to go to the Washington Post, you know, in the title of the article is "The Feds Have Resumed a Controversial Program That Lets Cops Take Stuff and Keep It." But I was scrolling down and I'm reading through the article and, you know, we're talking about Eric Holder and new restrictions and how the budget cuts last year stopped them from the program, blah, blah, blah. And then I scroll down and I see a chart here. Asset forfeitures surpass burglaries. Let that sink in a little bit. On an annual dollar value of assets seized by federal law enforcement and burglary losses, the federal government now is seizing more property than it's being stolen in burglaries, to the tune of a little over $5 billion a year.
Can you prove to me where the money in your wallet came from?
What money? What wallet?
Right now.
I don't have any money.
Quit resisting.
Am I being detained?
Only for your own safety, please. Allow us to place the handcuffs on.
We're going to search you now for my safety.
Yeah, I know. It's like, yeah, we're charging the money. All right, pull that $50 bill. Yeah. Don't move, $50 bill. You know, we'll just... how crazy is that when the federal government is taking more money from people out there than the burglars are getting?
I'd say it's about par for the course.
Unbelievable. Well, when does it get to be too much? Well, with that, we've got our guest in here, Gary Cadd. He's running again for city council. Mm-hmm. We support him in all of his endeavors and everything he's doing because he's, in my opinion, the only good guy on the city council right now that I can say. You know, I mean, I'm not really too enamored with the rest of the council, and I guess you've been getting a lot of 4-to-1 votes since this last election cycle, but...
Well, yeah, Mark, we have. We get 5-0 votes. I mean, there's a lot of issues that we do for running the city and taking care of the people of the city of Reading, and it needs to be 5-0 votes. But when you get right down to some of these particular issues that come up, a 4-to-1 vote is, I mean, my conscience, I got to vote for the people.
Right.
You know, whether it was the getting rid of the Reading Electric Utility Commission when we had 30 people get up and speak quite strongly about continuing the commission, and then
they don't really care though, most of them, about the people's input, do they?
Well, no, they don't care, and then they made your 3 minutes all up, you know.
Right. Those pesky campaign promises too, you know, being held accountable.
Yeah, you can't hold me accountable for that. Come on. Yeah,
well, the thing with it is, you can hold me accountable for every single thing that I've said running for council, because I stand on it, and I nobody's really told me that I've said something wrong. If there is, I'll rethink it. But you know,
you mean you don't at the end of the day in the middle of a city council meeting say something like you think it's crazy that you should be held to your silly, shallow campaign promises?
That wasn't for me, no.
Yeah, I know.
Because I think I should be.
No, that would be the esteemed Mr. Weaver that said that.
Yeah. Dream Weaver.
Yeah, Dream
Yeah, we don't want to attack everybody here, but we do. That's what we do.
Well, it's not an attack. It's truth. He said it.
Well, there you have it.
He said it in public.
So is there anybody else that's running that we could probably vote for at this point, Gary?
Well, you know, there's four people running. There's two ladies, Julie Winters and, oh, my gosh, I'm forgetting her name all of a sudden.
Leah Tate
is running, of which the two ladies, I don't really even know them. I've been introduced to them, but that's about it. Then the other individual is running is Adam McElvain,
yeah.
If I pronounce it correctly. I usually do it, mess that up. But anyway, but Adam is a good boy. I mean, a good young man. I can't say boy, but a good young man. And he has studied the issues. And then there's another individual, I think, running that I'm not even aware of his name or what he stands for or anything.
So but, everybody's kind of still jockeying for position.
Well, we've got a long ways to go. Yeah. I mean, the open period for signing up for Reading City Council is usually starts about July the 20th and goes to August the 10th, is somewhere in that time frame. And then the closing date of that is when you can't take your name off the ballot or get your name on the ballot after that point. So at that point, you're 90 days from the election, and that's when you're going to start campaigning. Right now, it really is really early. I mean, some folks are out talking to folks in the community, just like I've been doing, but I do that, you know, most all the time anyway. But I know that the Costco thing is really upsetting to me with Oasis and some of the things that are being said, that it's all on the developer, and Mr. Levinson's one that's causing all the problem, which is not true. But and I know that because I was involved in it. But we'll have to find out. The city now is saying that the Costco will not leave the city limits. Well, there's only really two places in the city that I know of offhand.
So Oasis is off the table now?
So to speak, yeah.
I don't know if you've heard anything, but I've actually heard rumor from a couple of people that Bethel Church is looking at locating and building a building there.
No, I've never heard that so far, no.
No? Okay. I've had a couple of people in the community.
No. Well, the thing with it is the acreage out at Oasis Road is large enough to put in quite a shopping center, and we could have new businesses coming to town. Chick-fil-A. I mean, we could just start naming new businesses. I mean, I'd love to see one of the big box sporting goods stores go out there, such as Bass Pro, seeing as we've got a lake out here that they have tournaments on. I mean, it sort of fit hand in glove, you know, type thing. So
you're just making too much sense.
Well, that might be it. Yeah,
problem.
But no, but the deal with Costco saying that Levinson won't change their original agreement. They had an agreement for 2 years, and it went out of phase. So Costco says that that Levinson has to sign their agreement after they made some changes. Well, the problem with it is Costco put a poison pill in there, and there's no way in heck I would sign it if I were Mr. Levinson.
What's the poison pill?
Well, the poison pill, basically, if I get this correct, Mark, is that if in the future, after Costco buys the property from Levinson, in the future, if there's ever any right-of-way problem or any problems crop up along, you know, that line, then the responsibility for that would go back on the developer, which would be Levinson.
Hmm.
Well, what's your title policy for?
Right.
When you go through and do your title policy, you do all the due diligence. So why is that in there? And I talked to the Costco fella and said, you know, I said, that's got to come out. And he said, nope, Costco's decided we're not going to take that out at all. So, I mean,
so are they getting somebody else to promise them that someplace else?
Well, if they are, I'm not part of those conversations, although I'm hearing from the city that Costco will not leave the city, because you know, there was some talk there for a while.
Yeah, but the city doesn't really have the authority to make them stay in the city, do they?
Oh, no, they can go anywhere they want to go. I mean they can be looking down at Churn Creek Bottom. See?
Right.
And that's why there was talk
of
the city and the county in a tax-sharing agreement where I think it was something, the rumors that were floating around were something along the line that the city would run the wet line or the sewer line down to them from up on South Bonneview. And then the city would keep the sales tax, present sales tax from Costco, and then the additional would go to the county or be split. But the problem with that is that's just for Costco. What happens when other entities go in down there? The city would get none of it. So we're losing sales tax as compared to having sales tax and property tax out at Oasis Road. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do. And we can
if I can expand here for a second, we can turn around and talk about you've heard me come in here and talk for years about unfunded pensions.
Yeah, we're going there.
Folks, unfunded pensions are here and now.
Yep.
We're paying them now. And there are.
Well, they're going to be paying a lot more here pretty quick, huh?
Well, a whole bunch more.
Yeah.
A whole bunch more.
Yeah, I'm looking
millions more.
I'm looking at the California Political Review. Here's another one from Stephen Frank. And, you know, basically, the real confused Governor Brown is telling folks that unfunded liabilities of CalPERS is around $170 billion and CalSTRS is around $72 billion. He's a little bit confused. Combined along with healthcare liabilities, the real number is $1.2 trillion. Not a typo. So Stanford did a study which shows why Brown and the Democrats are refusing to discuss the pension crisis. The $1.2 trillion is 60% of the GDP of the state. This is totally unsustainable. Those guys need to use that word, unsustainable. They're always talking about sustainability. Well, they ought to try, looking up what sustainability means in the dictionary and apply it to the present circumstance. Brown has to be in prayer that this doesn't collapse until after he leaves office.
Well, it's true. And the city of Redding's unfunded pension. We're talking CalPERS is somewhere close to $300 million. And then, of course, we have the PARS retirement. Thank you very much, Mr. Warren. Mm-hmm. That is another $70 million. And I know people tell me that I shouldn't mention Mike Warren's name, but for crimey's sakes, if you knew the whole story of how that came about, you'd be wanting to know what's going on.
Well, this double dipping, I think, and I've been saying it for quite some time. I remember I told you this 3 or 4 years ago. The city's going to end up filing bankruptcy, and I still believe that. At some point, when this all comes home to roost, that's going to be the only way out of to preserve the city to be able to pay anything.
Yeah, Mark, I don't want to use the B word. I don't. Is it a possibility? Yes, it is. Is it a time for the people of the city of Redding, whether you own a business, whether you work for someone else, whether you're retired in the city of Redding, it's time to become educated on how we got into the pension problem and just how big the pension problem is. And keep in mind, both CalPERS and PARS has the city of Redding on a payment plan to pay these off. Now, granted, if you go and look at a CAFR, and I'm sorry, I can't recall what it's the mid-year financial statement by the city, mm-hmm. and you look at the latest CAFR, there's an amount on there that shows unfunded pensions. But you'll also, if you really pay close attention, that amount is as of June 30th of 2014, because CalPERS is always 2 years behind. And that amount is the amount that would have been paid off at June the 30th of 2014.
So it takes it takes into consideration none of the current sequences of events. It doesn't take into consideration the market dropping. It doesn't take into consideration a rate of return based on
you're right, but you're also confusing the comment. I'm talking about the unfunded pensions, the debt that we have to pay for unfunded pensions.
Right now. Right.
Now, on the other side, and they got a payment plan on that, right? But on the other side, we also have their return on investment is what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. And if they don't get the return on the investment, that compounds or is added or clumped on top of the unfunded pensions.
And that goes to the heart of the matter. This all started when the CalPERS and the programs for pensions for government workers went from defined contributions to defined benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the heart, that is the crux of the matter that needs to be changed. We need to go back to a model that actually makes some kind kind of sense that could actually be funded without having to worry about this unfunded liability and this monstrosity that's gotten so out of control and their lies and deceit on what the amounts that could be paid and sustained in its entirety.
Well, that's part of the issue, too, is because these defined interest rates that they have to hit to maintain their funding level, they have not hit. They haven't even come anywhere near hitting what they need to. But instead of showing that on the books, they've taken the missed revenue and just pushed it down the road a couple of years to hide the fact how bad it is.
Well, and you stop and think about it. Now, let's go back again and talk about CalPERS calls it smoothing. Choice of words.
They have great words like equitable sustainability.
Yeah, right. they have
smoothing. All right, now they're blending. Smoothing. What they did is they're smoothing. Now, the smoothing is the unfunded pension. They started that in 15-16. It's a ramp up of 5 years, a build up of 5 years. Then at the fifth year, that amount will carry on for an additional 20 years. That amount's going to be about $14, $15 million at 1920.
With that, Gary, we need to go to a break.
Okay.
And we'll pick up this conversation on the other side. We also have a caller on the line. If you can hang with us, we will get to you after the break.
I don't care if you put lipstick on a pig.
It's still a pig.
It's still a pig.
This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
With Properties by Merit. Whether you're buying or selling a home, you can count on me to get the best results. Not only do I represent both residential and land, but I also specialize in rural properties and ranches. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become a reality. Call or text me today, Cody Titus, at 209-0721.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 019-45816.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or norcallimo.com. TCP 31143.
Hi, it's Linda Bott and Molly Kidd. Join us on Thursday night during On the Spot at 6 p.m.
Also on the first Thursday of every month, join Rhonda Ball and James Masada from Enjoy the Magazine. We bring you art, entertainment, food, highlights, and all the stuff going on in the North State.
Don't forget the giveaways, lots of laughs, and great information.
That's On the Spot Thursdays at 6 p.m.
here on KCNR 1460.
Brought to you by Dandelion Gift and Apparel, Wind River Resort and Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield and Repair.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
KCNR, 1460 AM. The most local programming in Northern California.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny when you're near. The rain goes, disappears, dear, and I feel so fine just to know that you are mine. My life is sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. That's how the shriek rain goes. So come on, join in, everybody. Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows, everything that's wonderful is sure to come your way when you're in love to stay.
Yep. Sovereign Mind Radio. It's all sunshine and lollipops. Rainbows, and isn't it wonderful? This is what happens when you depend on the government to take care of you. Yep. Gonna be a problem. All right, so I guess
I believe we have Terry on the line. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing?
We're doing good.
Fun never stops.
You know, the thing is that the people on our city council really have no consequences. They can go ahead and do whatever they want, ignore the people, put public comment to the end. It doesn't matter what we do. They don't care, and they simply don't do anything that we want them to do. And there are no consequences.
One does, Terry.
Zero.
One council member does.
Well, we have Gary, but, you know, Gary, White Bear is unique to this whole situation, of course.
We need about three more Garys on the council.
Well, we need to be the consequence,
right?
The thing is that even if you stand up, I know that George had stood up several times and was even being threatened of being sued by the mayor. It just really is, there is no consequences as long as the McConnells run everything. I mean, really and truly, the fellow who called in a while ago and talked about, you know, maybe that next level thing, I agree with you, Red. You're absolutely right about what you're saying. But we need to push the envelope somewhere, and we're not getting anywhere with these folks. You know, the state of Jefferson is the chance we have, a sovereign state, jurisdiction, interposition, nullification of unconstitutional platitudes, unconstitutional agencies, et cetera. Somewhere along the line, the folks in Reading have to go to the city council and say, no, we're not going to take it anymore. We're just not going to. And I don't know what that takes on or how that looks, other than the fact that the unfunded liabilities are out of this world. The sunshine, lollipops, rainbows, Mark, you're so right. I mean, that's what a lot of people think around here.
Well, you know, the thing is, we've got to keep pushing, and we got to keep making noise, and we got to keep stirring the pot, because otherwise, Shanghai's looking pretty good.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, maybe we ought to come up with a plan. Well, maybe the folks could call on a plan. And I just want to leave this one little message for everybody. And everybody that's listening, I just want you to ask yourself one question. That question is, ladies, whether it's the makeup you wear, the food you make for your kids and for your husband, it's whether the garden you grow, the property you don't own, the government actually owns that, try not paying your taxes. Everything that we have and do is controlled by the federal government. I'd like somebody to call in anytime, maybe even during Carl's programs, just call in and say one thing that's not controlled by the government right now in your life. And how much longer do we let this go on? Gary, thank you for all you do, my friend.
Martin, welcome.
Listen. Well, I have one question myself, and I agree that we need to start developing a plan, but are we developing a plan to get us out of this CalPERS mess, and can we get out of this CalPERS mess, or do we need to be developing a plan for the recovery after the CalPERS crash because we're already dead?
Well, and let me add to some of that, because here's the severity of the problem, just CalPERS. We're not talking about anything else. Okay, it's a common thread that the state pension deficits are throwing these figure rounds of the hundreds and millions and so forth, and this $1.2 trillion deficit on CalPERS and CalSTRS and so forth is about $950 billion in unfunded pension liabilities and about $300 billion in other post-employment benefits, primarily retiree health care. The total translates roughly, just the state of California, to $30,650 dollars for every man, woman, and child in the state. So for a family of four right now, in order to cover these pensions, that would be $123,000 for a family of four. So, I mean, can we get out of that?
Well, I don't know if we can get out of it in terms you're putting it in, Mark. But in terms of the city of Reading, you know, our previous segment, we talked quite a bit about the unfunded pensions, and we talked negative. It's a problem. We have to address that problem. But one of the best ways to address that problem is to make what Red said when we were off the air, to make the pie bigger.
Right.
And that isn't going out and collecting more sales tax out of folks' pocket. The real thing that we need to be doing is bringing new business into
becoming,
the city of Reading.
Becoming business friendly. And,
right.
You know, I think the state of Jefferson feathers into that as well, because we need to get the government off our backs across the board so that a business will come in here and want to prosper, and that will boost the sales tax, is what you're saying. So instead of, you know, drawing more water out of the pool, let's make another pool.
Yeah, or make the pool bigger, or a second pool. No, you're right. It's what we need to be doing. So we need, the first thing we need to do is we need to have jobs. We've got homeless on the streets. We've got drugs all over the place. Mm-hmm. We had the grocery store up on Tops, I think it is, up on Eureka Way, had their door broken in last night, smashed in. I mean, this stuff's got to stop.
Well, it's really business, okay, because we say jobs, but jobs are people working for businesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, the crime and the economy are not mutually exclusive. They are hand-to-hand tied together.
Right.
Good economy, lower crime rate. It's that simple. And we do, in this city and this county, both need to kick the door wide open for business.
I
mean, whatever that takes to get them here.
Well, and another thing we need to do. I know the last time I brought this up at a city council, the police chief saw fit to correct me, and I'm fairly certain that I was correcting the figures that I gave out. But those figures were that back in 2008, we had 119 sworn police officers. We did get down to 98 on a good day. Now we have, I think it's up to 104, 106, with some grants in the like that we've gotten. But we need to be hiring those people back again. So if that's the case, at the low point in our downturn, started back in late 7, early 8, we had 12 small little budget reduction sessions with the council just before I came on council. All right. When we did that, we went from about $78 million general fund budget down to just below $60 million. It was 59.9, something like that. But if you go back and look, you won't find that 59 figure, because the city was successful in going out and capturing three or four grants. So the low point actually was about $62 million. Well, right now we're back up to $70 million again. Well, if we're back to $70 million again, why haven't we hired those police officers back again? Why haven't we hired those CSOs officers back again? Why didn't we hire the fire department people back again? If we've got an increase, because it's back up to $70 million now. So if we got that, where's that money going? And it looks to me as though some of that money is going to start to pay for the unfunded pensions, which were on a payment plan. Well, and we're both into it.
And I tell you, I try to be positive here, but I'm still looking at this article. You know, San Francisco Chronicle reported Monday that it has a county in the East Bay that has guaranteed a top public administrator an annual lifetime pension of more than $500,000 per year when she retires. You know, and the Governing magazine reported earlier this month that California's largest pension fund is devoting its energies to green social activism, even as it continues to fall far short of its investments targets. So, I mean, it's just, I mean, these guys got to stop paying themselves. I mean,
well, all right, you want to go into that. Last Labor Day is usually when the paper, the Searchlight, comes out, when Jenny comes out with her article on labor, city labor.
Right.
Well, it didn't come out until October this year is when she finally got it. And when it came out, boy, the people were, I mean, you got to be, we're paying those people how much? You know, and I'm talking basically the upper echelon.
Sure.
But we're paying those people how much? Well, I mean, there's indignation. The people
were saying this for years.
But wait. There's more to the story.
It's better.
On August the 18th of last year, there was an item on the closed session called 13B. Now, I cannot tell you what was in that report because they marked it. They developed it, and they tagged it.
So you would be breaking the Brown Act if you mentioned
that? Well, because it says that confidential attorney-client privilege. So I can't tell you folks. See, their little moniker at the top of it trumps me being able to tell you what they were doing. See?
That is so, just so wrong.
So anyway, then they went through this backroom stuff that I can't tell you about. So then I had them put it on the open session on September 1st.
I wonder if anybody did a Freedom of Information Act request on this stuff to get it out.
You're going to have to, because I have a copy of it at home. They gave me, I said, stamped copy, but I have a copy of the report.
I mean, what if we got a hold of somebody like Judicial Watch, Tom Fenton, and those guys?
The thing with it is, how can the city turn around and make a presentation to council on the raises that they're asking for? Upper echelon, they're asking for these raises, and then market attorney-client privilege to where I can't release it or you can't get your hands on it. And then they turn around, and then on September 1st, the report came out, and the backup report numbers, it had their job title, and then to the right of that, it had...
That's patently illegal. It's got to be.
It said salary range. And they had salary ranges. There's no possible way that you can figure what the salary range was or what the salary increase was. Plus, keep this in mind.
And so who are we talking about here? Who are we talking about? We're talking about Missy MacArthur?
No, we're not talking about Missy MacArthur. We're talking about the city manager. We're talking about the city manager. We're talking to the assistant to city manager. We're talking to the upper echelon.
We're talking about the guys that have been in charge forever and the guys that are on the city council just keep changing places.
Right. Right. But the other four were willing to, they gave it to them. But there's another thing, is there's also a compression increase.
So we are talking about.
But wait a minute. There's a compression increase. That's when the people below you get too close to you and we got to give you a raise to keep you above them. Keep giving raises over here to the people, the lower folks. Then all of a sudden, oh, well, they're too close to us. We have to get a raise. Well, the problem with it is, in reading these reports, there is no possible way on this God's green earth that you can figure out what that increase was, because each individual is going to be different by the people under them. So there's no way of figuring out what it is.
All right, and with that, we have Billy Bob on the line. He has a question for you, Gary. Good morning again, yes. Billy Bob.
Yes, thanks for taking my second call today. You guys are just so interesting and so provocative that I can't help myself.
Thanks, Bob.
But anyway, Gary, I can't express my and everybody else I know's appreciation for what you do for the city of Reading. And I just had to chime in. I tell you what, I don't know what the council and the city would be without you at least putting your toe in the door, not letting it shut completely on us. So I appreciate what you do, and I don't know how you do it, but God bless you.
Well, thank you very much.
And then again, your recent comments about these salary raises and everything. We are a bell, city of bell in the
amazing California
year.
Yeah.
I mean, start them in at 350 and all the assistant city managers. Oh, how many assistant city managers do you need? We've got four of them, Barry Kippen, they add them up. Hey, and then we got four managers for the REU. Well, it's absolutely ludicrous.
Bob, here's one thing. If and when, not if, but when we get 13B, August the 18th of 2015, closed session item 13B, we need to see the report that was given to council. But when we see this, okay, you are going to be livid, because I can't tell you what's in it, because I'd be breaking their law. And they would throw the book at me, so I can't do it. The only way is for the folks, you folks out there, to put enough pressure on them to force them to release that report. And I do have a copy of it.
I can start that Monday.
Well, what about the jury trial? I mean,
well, I mean, you folks will be livid, just as okay, I was livid and have been for months.
As long as they don't get close to you with a heavy cotton rope and an oak tree standing next to you, you know, I'll be okay. But, hey, a second point. you know, a little humor mixed in. Okay.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry. No matter how long it takes, Gary, we'll get you out.
Yeah. Okay. How long it takes, you're good. Yeah, that's fine.
No, when they're out ready to slap the horse on the ass, then we shoot the rope just
Right. Shoot the rope, and then you miss and say sorry.
Like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, hang them high. Yeah, or
all right, so second
the bad,
point.
The ugly.
The second point, this crime and everything to get this city off its dead ass, excuse my language, is that there are, and I've been pushing this on Carl Bott's show for years, these the impact fees that the city of Reading charges are absolutely ludicrous. For a single family home, 1,200 square feet, it is $35,000 just to get the city to give you a piece of paper. In Texas, they don't even have building permits. In Montana, they don't even have a building permit. And you got to spend, $35 a square foot. And so here's, again, the way that we can start slowly and getting this out of the way and get started is that in the city of Reading, there was probably 400 lots, vacant lots, ready for sale and building, that have the impact fees have been paid 20 years ago. 22. They're just sitting there, all idle. And
what we need to do is take
those lots and put a moratorium on those to begin with, and then we can do new developments as they come in once we start getting some money and some income and some carpentry people and some construction companies back to work. And then we go from there. So I'll let you guys go. Great show.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
And really, I think we're all in about 100% agreement. The only way out of this is growth.
Growth is the only way out of it.
You know, and retail is great, but we need manufacturing. We need industry. If we had
growth in the city of Reading, then the people, the powers that be across this country and the world would see, well, I'll be darned. Reading is really getting up and doing something.
Mm-hmm.
This other company just went in and they bought a section of Stillwater Business Park, and they're going to put up a manufacturing plant. We've already got, praise God, we already got the strawberry folks out there, Lassen
Canyon.
Lassen Canyon, yeah. Thank you, Red. But so the growth is what will get us out of this. If we want to stay stagnant, and we don't want growth, we are not going to get out of the problem that we're in. It's all there is to it.
If you're not growing, you're dying.
That's right. Well, and if you're not, by growing, if you're just staying even, you're losing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a growth pattern. You have to have percentage increase to be doing it. Our sales tax is down $1.6 million. It's down.
Yeah,
did anybody tell
it.
Me why?
Yeah.
It's because of the fuel.
Well.
Because there's still, and you've heard me say this, Mark, you've heard me over and over say this, for the last, since 2012, the two sectors in our economy that really show an increase for us are cars and fuel.
Right.
Now, we have other sectors, but they're small little bumps. They're not really large increases. And as long as people keep saying, well, Gary, the economy's getting better, the economy's really picking up here in Reading, the economy is not.
Yeah.
When you turn around, maybe you're in technology. I talked to an individual yesterday in technology. He said, our business is growing. Technology, of course, is growing.
Sure, there's some segments of the market that is growing.
That is growing.
Sure.
But you have to have you can't have a market of 10 different sectors and then find three of them growth and the rest of them it's somewhat stagnant. You got to have the whole thing. Mm-hmm. The whole engine's got to be running.
We got to get back to some kind of manufacturing is what it needs to do.
Yeah, we need industry.
Absolutely. Well, let me read this.
A few of them.
Let me read the last part of this, and then we'll go to a break here because we have 2 minutes left. With California's pension debt now approaching 60% of GDP and rising, it's clear that tinkering around the edges won't be enough. The confluence of powerful public sector unions, dishonest politicians eager to pander to them, and incompetent investing and accounting probably makes the defined benefits pension status quo unsustainable in the long run. In order to bring state and local liabilities back under control, and in order to bring public employee benefits back in line with those available to ordinary taxpayers, California should transition back to the defined contribution 401k style retirement for its public workers. In the meantime, as the severity of these deficits is laid bare, the U.S. Congress should hold hearings not only how things were going to, not only on how things were allowed to get this bad, but on what it is plans to do once the state local governments start approaching Washington, Puerto Rico style, for massive bailouts. Will any assistance be forthcoming, and if so, on what terms? Now, I suggest everybody go read that article, California Political Review.
And remember, this is just one piece of the picture of California as a whole.
Right.
Just CalPERS pensions is 60% of GDP. That's not counting our water bonds and our other unfunded debts. Just CalPERS is 60% of GDP. You add up all of our debt in California to GDP, it's upside down and we're done.
Yeah. Well, with that, let's go to a break.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM.
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream sound bites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, Foreign Affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Wellgate Sports Club has dedicated themselves to creating an environment that supports your personal goals, whatever they may be. That's because Wellgate Sports Club is more than just a gym. Wellgate is Reading's first premier sports club with the staff, programs, and 23,000 square foot facility designed to give you an exceptional experience every day. Now it's never been easier to take advantage of incredible amenities, including Reading's only indoor saltwater pool, outdoor jacuzzi, sauna, luxury towel service, and over 130 exercise classes designed from beginners to experts. For a limited time, you can become a member of Wellgate Sports Club with no enrollment fee. That's a $99 value. In addition, Wellgate Sports Club will provide you with 3 personal training sessions and a nutrition consultation absolutely free. That's another $225 value. There's never been a better time or a better place to get started. Call 766 68125 today for your personal tour. Or stop by 1740 Eureka Way and don't forget to visit online at WellgateSportsClub.com. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
The Reading Chapter of Safari Club International is hosting their 22nd annual banquet April 30th at the Wind River Event Center. Safari Club International is a leader in protecting your freedom to hunt and promoting wildlife conservation worldwide. Live auction and raffles will include African game safaris, elk, deer and wild boar hunts, and much more. The 22nd annual Reading Chapter of Safari Club International promises to be a signature event. For tickets and more information, call Larry McLeod at 530-474-5075. That's 530-474-5075.
It's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Reading. Our great community sponsors are Russell Cleaning Service, the Shasta Athletic Club, Zach Bay State Farm Insurance, Revolve Solar, Gold Star Mortgage, Mast Roofing, Chronic Service Master, and Authority Property Management. Great community members every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock to hear what's going on. Many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform. So tune in each Saturday at 9 to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show, it's the happening place.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Dark cloud is coming, headed straight for your heart. Might get just a little bit crazy, baby. Might try to tear us apart. When the storm blows over, only the strong love remains. If we're ever gonna see a rainbow,
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. And yeah, if we're ever going to see the rainbow, we're going to stand a little rain here. Yeah, so real quick story here, kind of feathers into what we're talking about. And then we got about 5 minutes left to go here. Evidently, in Japan, the Japanese elderly are committing crimes to break into prison. Evidently, in Japan, the prison has become alluring because, you know, people are repeatedly doing the same crime over and over again, and to commit these crimes to basically go to prison. And, it says...
Three huts and a cot?
Three hots in a cot, you know, so that's basically what we're talking about. You know, the old people aren't going out and saying, I have no money, I'm going shoplifting. They're saying, I can go live in a home or I can go to prison. And they're picking prison. Is that how? Okay, so with that, I mean, where do you go? I mean, that's what we're going to be talking about that here pretty soon. Japan's stagnant economy has been like that with the Keynesian crap that we've been getting from our commander in thief and every other economist out there that's been being paid by the big bankers. So,
with that, we do have a caller on the line. Mr. Rose, you have a comment for us this morning?
Yes, you guys are doing a great job, and even with your guest, which is normally not a guest, he's always been in your house and our house together. I just wanted to say that in the old Army, they used to do beating of the drums at different rhythms and also blowing of the bugle in different zones so that the troops would know whether to go left, go right, stop, or retreat. The Native Americans basically did the same thing, beating on drums to communicate. So what I'm saying is, so keep beating the drums and blowing the bugles to stand up and speak up.
Yep.
God bless.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Maybe that's what we need. We need
that was great.
We need a big Japanese guy in a diaper on a taiko drum. Ramming speed!
Yeah, I mean, something out of, Ben-Hur or something.
Well, we have a few minutes left, Gary. There was, you wanted to talk about the rescue
mission. Yes, I can. Now, first of all, I would like to make the comment and that my wife, Linda, is a member of the board of the rescue mission. In fact, she's the secretary of the board. But my heart is with the mission and with the different things that they do. And I would like to mention this, that the mission in the last year, maybe a little longer, has taken a lot of heat for a lot of things that actually aren't really truthful. Now, the mission has started putting together tours every Thursday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There's a tour that you have to call ahead of time to get signed up for it, but they'll take you on a tour through the whole mission. Now, one of the two things that I want to bring up at this point in time is the House of Hope and the new Victory House that's just being completed. And the Victory House, the ladies will be moving into the Victory House from the House of Hope probably by the end of April, somewhere in that general neighborhood. And they will increase probably double the amount of women and children that can stay in the program in the Victory House. Then the House of Hope, which is now where they're staying, the House of Hope will be refurbished, and they will be able to hold up to 80 women and children at night to get them off the streets and into a safe environment. Now, having said that, the city was going to put five people on that Housing First fiasco that I didn't care too much for. But what I would like to ask you folks is to call the rescue mission, and I'm trying to get the phone number to come up here, but I don't know if it's going to or not. Anyway, we call and go on a tour to see just what is going on at the mission, to get the right information from the mission and be able to understand more what's going on. I know folks that have had problems with the mission go through the tours, and their eyes are opened up to really what's going on. The number is 530-241-5754. That's 530-241-5754. But it would be well worth your time to give Ken White a call and get signed up for one of the tours. And Linda and I can be there, too, if you'd want us to. But call the mission.
All right. Well, thank you for coming in, Gary. We'll have to have you back when we can go over some more of those beautiful topics.
Very good. Well, it's time. You're born an original, so don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason, it is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties and liberty over safety.
And this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State. And remember, no Patriot meeting tomorrow night at 6 p.m.
Ramming speed.
Downhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Amtrak service between New York and Philadelphia is operating again, but service between Wilmington, Delaware, and Philadelphia remains suspended. That's after a train with more than 300 people aboard struck a backhoe on the tracks outside of Philadelphia this morning. Democratic New York Senator Charles Schumer weighs in. He says it's inconceivable that there was a backhoe on an active train track south of Philadelphia.
Sometimes there's human error. Sometimes things happen. But there is virtually no excuse for a backhoe to be on an active track. No excuse. So Amtrak has to examine its processes from top to bottom.
Schumer says that the Amtrak crash injured more than two dozen people on the train. and killed two people who were not on that train.
We know there were at least two fatalities, the backhoe operator and his supervisor, both Amtrak employees.
John Kasich says that the Republican convention could prove to be a civics lesson for the country. If no candidate gets 1,230